You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com.
You swing low, sweet chariot.
Swing low.
Or no, the better one.
Old Man River. That old man river.
See, Greg, you gotta understand. I've had.
I've already worked.
It's Thursday night. I've already worked 50 hours this week.
But your toleration of things is very high.
Yeah, and I've had 5 hours of sleep every night. I'm about to call Galt, okay? Between Harry and Creighton right now.
You're just being a little whiny little bitch.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's get started. All right, ready? Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. Greg Lenz is here as always, Old Faithful.
Christopher, it is good to see you.
Now, where did your microphone go?
Right,
no, it's not there.
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I think you had the off switch on there.
Oh, my fault. Can you, so Christopher, you how are you?
198 episodes in.
198 episodes,
and it's
Harry's fault. I came to your apartment. There was a suspicious black man.
Yes,
wandering around in here taking your electronics, which always that's doubly suspicious.
Yeah, he
asked me for the Wi-Fi code, and I said, "Get the hell out."
We got to have a discussion about this. Also with us is Creighton Harrington.
Hi.
Leading up to our 200th episode on Monday, we'll be at Morty's Comedy Joint in Indianapolis.
I'm back.
That'll be March 13th at 7 p.m. at Morty's Comedy Joint. Come out and celebrate 5 years and 200 episodes with us at Morty's
really
Comedy Joint.
Years?
It has been 5 years. And so on March 8th, 2012... I sat down with little Creighton Harrington and little Chris Galt. Think of all the things that
you
have
changed.
You
got his name wrong, didn't you?
Yeah. What did I call you?
Harrison or something.
Harrison. Creighton Harrison. I think that was the first episode that didn't... We did one episode. So the real is... It's like March 3rd or 4th.
Right. We did the first and it didn't record.
It didn't
something.
Record. Yeah.
You literally... I don't know if you guys remember this, but we used to do it at
Rupert's
headquarters, and he would literally have to bring his entire PC tower from his office into the recording room every time, hook everything
every time,
up,
yeah.
And then when we're done, he'd take it back to his office.
It was insane. And so I had not yet taken out the $1,800 loan off of my car to buy the podcast equipment. No, I had at that point. I had it. I just didn't have the recorder yet. I figured there had to be a better way. Somebody must have figured this out, and that's when I discovered the glorious Zoom H2N.
It's like, suddenly I was like, they have to do this. Oh, there's this whole radio industry. They right. got this thing covered.
And now you could literally run your own celestial radio station out of your apartment.
Absolutely, no.
And like video studio.
We started out with the Alesis Multimix 8. Now, Harry, if you're going to be in here, you can't talk in the background off mic. You're distracting us. We'll get to you in a minute. And we've got, dude. So I spent some time upgrading the equipment. Harry's here working on computers. I have purchased some video equipment, some Blackmagic equipment, some Canon cameras, stage lighting. There's a whole box of stage lighting over there.
If Harry would unpack it and do it quicker.
I know. And he's afraid to touch the cotton that it was packed in. I'm uncomfortable asking him to do that. And the stage lighting will be set up hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to start live streaming and videotaping every episode.
For the paying members, there's stepsister porn that comes on immediately following.
We got a brand new recorder, so now we have two recorders. We're up to the Zoom H6, which I couldn't. If you're new getting into podcasting, just buy some SM48, some mic cords, and a Zoom H6. It's the greatest piece of equipment ever. And I've got a backup recorder that I just bought. We have a Mackie Pro FX 16, so we can have 12 microphones now.
We don't sell bundles of podcast startup kits that are like beginner, you know, moving up to subscribers and then elite.
The next investment's the flux capacitor and the continuum transfunctioner.
But those are for the shape-shifting interdimensional pedophiles, that woke.
Right. So. Yeah, so I'm gonna do some YouTube videos for basic podcasting once my life kind of slows down a little bit. But because so many people ask me all the time, how do I start a podcast? And I say, you can't. I'm so great. There's no reason to do another podcast. And we on that first episode debated Gary Johnson versus Ron Paul because Ron Paul was still seeking the nomination.
I don't remember anything we
and
talked about.
We're that. Here. Still talking about that same discussion right. in libertarian yes. circles. All
I didn't see that Gary Johnson said he's never running for president again. I was like, huh, well, a couple, 8 years too late.
He had a good experience in the Libertarian Party.
Right. So, if you go back and listen to that first episode, it's not bad. Those first episodes were a lot of fun. They weren't bad. And then it got more fun as we moved into 2013. We got into 2000, at the end of 2012... we moved back to the old headquarters, and you and I did an episode there, and it was... we had 72 listeners at that point, and I couldn't believe that we had 72 subscribers and 70 people listening to each and every episode.
What are we up to now?
6,000.
Woo!
About 6,200.
We are... kind of famous.
Yeah. Like when you were getting recognized at Y'all making outbound phone calls for
that's
fundraising.
That's right. That did happen.
Yeah.
You're Creighton Harrington?
Yeah.
We are libertarians?
That's right. I had
would you like to donate 100 or 500?
5 years ago, Creighton was in his junior year of college at IAPUI.
Now I'm in my senior year of college.
5 years later, he's in his senior year.
Quite the sabbatical.
But you went on to work for Young Americans for Liberty.
Right. And then one of my jobs was to like make contact to all the new members in my region. And just, you know, welcome them to Yale and all that kind of stuff, you know. And one, I called somebody, I don't remember his name, but I called somebody from, like, Nebraska. Or
Utah, wasn't it?
It was far away.
Our Mormon listener.
Yeah.
It had to have been somewhere in Michigan or Minnesota or something.
Oh, that's right, in your district.
Region.
Or yeah.
But anyway, I called him, and he's like, what's your name? I was like, my name's Creighton. You know, I was like, holy crap, man, are you on We Are Libertarians? I was like, yeah, that was me. Like, oh, man.
You got quite the social life, don't you, buddy?
Yeah.
You're exactly who I'm looking for.
It's like,
yeah.
So if you're still listening, I remember that. That actually brightened my day, young sir.
Yeah. So we've blossomed into a marginally listened to podcast, or we're in the top 20% of all podcasts. I've learned,
like, on the internet, or mm-hmm. just
yes,
wow,
in existence.
Yeah, so we
still make no money.
That's not true. we don't make profit, but we make money.
We make Bitcoin, and that's off the books.
Yeah, I want to read an email, and actually, I'm just getting an email. We may be partnering up with a very large libertarian website, and that's going to really help us out. I'm working on some stuff personally that'll take us to the next level in my career. So a bright future ahead for We Are Libertarians. Many of you heeded the call. As you know, our service. So I'm giving you the podcast gear tour of how we've grown over the last couple episodes. And only Harry cares, I think, because Harry's a nerd like me. And I have hosted, self-hosted on Bluehost forever. And we have, I'm pulling up this email, self-hosted on Bluehost forever. And then I link that through the PowerPress plugin on WordPress. And self-hosting, I wouldn't recommend for most podcasts, because most podcasts you could do it, because you're not going to go, most podcasts last 3 months with five episodes. But they certainly don't turn into the podcast that we've turned into for the most part, with, you know, 150,000 downloads every 90 days. And so that's a lot of bandwidth, and thank God Bluehost offers unlimited. But at a certain point, they go, hey, not for nothing, we're shutting your site down. And we're getting close to that, and I'm worried that if we get one retweet from a famous person, or, you know, let's say
Alex Jones.
Let's say Alex Jones or Austin Peterson or somebody decides to start pushing us, then we will get the website shut down. So I've actually just connected with Fireside, a new podcast hosting platform from Dan Benjamin, 5x5, a show that I love, is podcast method about podcasting. And I chose them over Libsyn, and they're fairly cheap, easy to use. And so that's another extra $20, and then we've got to add a few podcasts on there. So we're looking at about $50 a month in hosting extra. And many of you signed up and became monthly subscribers. I want to read a letter from our newest one, Carly Ernst. I'm guessing I'm saying Carly's name right. Carly unfortunately declined my marriage proposal, and you'll hear why. I mean, you'll hear why I would want to marry this girl in a heartbeat. Hello, I have been a Facebook stalking you all since I stumbled upon Wall post-election. I felt that I was doing myself and my children a disservice by not being more educated on the subject. I find your podcast to be both entertaining and educational. I will have two children that will be voting age by the next election, 16 and 14 now, and they listen to pieces of the episodes. I try to pre-screen them for my younger children. Sorry about that. As someone that is just now becoming, let's be honest, Carly, okay, the 14 and the 16-year-old are saying fuck, and they're not talking about anything that we don't already talk about, but I appreciate you being a good mother and pretending that they don't say cuckold.
It's more about her not having to lie to her kids that she knows what those words mean.
Right, exactly right. By the way, I went to SmackDown. I got to sit in the front row the other night, Tuesday night, and behind us there was this one row had this like sweet little 8-year-old kid, and then behind him was this redneck that was just hilarious. And
at a wrestling match.
I know. And he started calling one of the wrestlers a cuck. And the 10-year-old kid goes, "Yeah, you cuck." And the mother looks over at me and goes, "What's a cuckold?" And I go, "Well, look, fortunately, there's a white and a black wrestler in the ring. I'm going to have them come over. We're going to illustrate this."
I love it that it has entered the zeitgeist.
Yes.
Like, that is the... 4chan changed the world. They put a dent in the universe and elected somebody president.
This newer generation...
Meme magic.
James Neese changed the world.
He did. Yes. He started out just trying to post trap anime porn and ended up loving a president and making him the new leader.
But the thing is, the newer generation doesn't want to say fag.
Yeah.
Like, when we were kids, we called everybody a fag.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Jewish, Amish, Jamish.
Yeah. It wasn't... We didn't mean it to be derogatory towards gays.
They did a whole South Park episode about it.
Right.
We meant
they were literally a bundle of sticks that we wanted to light on fire.
So she pre-screens, and as someone, Carly writes, that is just now becoming more involved in this, I first want to thank you for the job that you do. Secondly, I would like advice for how to become more involved in my area. I currently live in Shreveport, LA, but I continue to work in Texas. I know that you are all extremely busy, but any response is appreciated. Anything for a beautiful listener like you, Carly. She writes, thoughts on the show, and this spans several episodes. Number one, Miranda is my spirit animal, and I adore her. Now, let me say something. Miranda, there is no medium with Miranda, okay? People, women love or hate her, okay? They are either all in on Miranda, or they despise her and will not let their boyfriends be Facebook friends with her.
Physically removed, so to speak.
Right. Number two, I could listen to Greg talk for hours.
Thank you.
It's great. I do.
I'll put PayPal. Just give me your PayPal. I'll send you the money.
Yeah, Greg. I want Greg to keep talking because I learned so much from him. But at the same time, when he writes like a 5-paragraph message or status,
and like honestly, I don't write for you guys to read it. It's for me to get my thoughts straight.
Right.
So like, don't ever feel like I'm like forcing that on you.
Today, you were writing something about JFK and stuff that we'll talk about, and I just wanted to reply. Scream.
Yeah, and it comes off that way, but for me, it's like rather than opening a Google Doc and making notes, it's just easier to put it in chat or it's searchable.
Chris Spangle, I listened to the episode that you spoke about your grandmother at a time that I needed to remember that myself. I am a nurse practitioner, and I work with palliative and hospice patients. Palliative, I've never used that word before, and hospice patients. Death is a big part of my job, but sometimes I end up focusing more on my job than the other things in my life that are more important. Thank you so much, Carly. Kudos to Spangle and Bittner on weight loss to date. Healthcare and diabetes are near and dear to my heart. Lifestyle changes hard, especially when it is a major one like that. Hats off to you both.
Diabetes.
I will say, I mean, Creighton has gained weight. Them peaks on those biceps are looking massive, bro. What are you benching?
Do you really want me to say that? Or you?
I want
to
know. I want to know.
You're the star running back of Decatur Central High School.
What kind of weight are you pushing?
Oh, back in the day.
You were the young AP.
I can throw a football over the mountains.
Yeah.
What? Give us your impressive, incredible PRs. Come on, bro.
You're every bit of 350 guaranteed.
Come on.
Max.
Something like 380.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to be.
Ever, highest ever, something like that.
He's over here doing tries for the guys and curls for the girls.
Now, he's one of those guys, though, you know, it's all upper body because he was squatting and he sprained his ankle.
Not to be fair,
to get a cane.
That did happen, and that just means that I need to realize I'm old, but my squats, I don't pass
I'm
on leg
totally
day,
kidding.
Yo.
I'm totally joking. Running backs can't.
You can't be doing that. You gotta do everything, man.
Chicks dig glutes.
But since we started the podcast, when we first met Greg in 2013, he was larger. I was 330. Daniel Peffers was enormous.
Yeah, I always felt
Daniel Peffers wasn't that big. It's just that he was a small person.
Right.
Like, tacked on there.
Dan, like, he doesn't even look like the same guy from when we started this podcast.
He looks like Tom Hanks in Philadelphia.
Right.
Not even close to the same guy.
He looked like a fat elf.
Remember when you took his glasses, you put your glasses on him and took a selfie and tried to get people to believe it was you?
I just put my glasses on him. I was like, oh, man, I look great. So I've lost. I'm down to 280. Greg's lost a bunch of weight. Joe has lost a bunch of weight. Maya is down to damn near her high school weight. She got real fucking fat like 2 years ago.
I don't think I honestly, like, I could never get to my high school weight. I weighed like 189 in high school. I wrestled 189, and
all wrestlers will never get back.
But like I'm consistently at like 215 and
swole range.
Yeah, but I'm never gonna get down to high school weight.
Who else has lost a bunch of weight? Bittner has lost a bunch of weight.
Not enough. We've still
not
got
enough.
About 71% to go.
Right.
And then he'll be gone.
There pretty much everybody, and I think maybe it's just because when we started the show for people under the age of 30 and millennials, and now that I'm 33, we no longer use that phrasing.
Do you go to that LA Fitness right around the corner?
I used to. Then I switched to the Y, and I'm thinking about going back to the LA Fitness.
You should just go whatever's closer. You just need to make sure you go to the gym.
I do. I've been going 3 to 4 times
a
week.
Good job,
like, hey, come over here, man.
Yeah.
Come over here. Come feel this. Come feel that.
Look at that definition.
Look at that. I can see that shadow. Yeah. I can see that.
No, come. You come feel me. Yeah.
How can you lead an armed revolution if you're not swole?
Right. Look at this. Look, no
bounce.
We
need to rise up.
Damn right. Get in her bar, son.
I've lost 10% of my body weight in the last 3 months.
And then recompositioned everything else.
So
just don't sprain your ankle.
Harry wants the Wi-Fi password. Let me finish this letter, and then we will talk to you. Okay? We'll debate whether or not you should get the password.
So somehow we went from talking about a listener who was a big fan, and now we're talking about...
She mentioned the diabetes. And Wilford Brimley.
We're talking about whether or not Chris
public
can...
announcement.
What Chris can curl.
All right. Number 5, don't knock a diva cup from the episodes with Miranda. Also try soft cups, because mess-free period sex is always a good thing.
That's really true.
Listen,
ass free period sex.
I didn't
is
hear
always
that episode, and
yes.
Now I think I feel like I should be listening. I should.
Oh
listen
my,
to that
it's
episode.
Epic.
Stepsister porn is weak, but I figured that I would put some time into researching it more fully. Winky face. Keep up the good work. And I replied, "Do you want to get married?" From the We Are Libertarians, editor at We Are Libertarians.
Did you? You
yes,
did?
Yes.
I thought that was Miranda. I thought you gave her access.
No, I replied, "Do you want to get married?" Carly wrote back, "Boyfriend gets super upset when I try to marry other men behind his back, unless this is Miranda replying, in which case, yes. No, this is Spangle. You seem like the perfect woman." And Carly writes back, "I'm a fun time. I've been talking to Miranda about visiting on a road trip. I would love to come up and meet y'all." So,
and then you said his last response was, "Check your DMs."
Yeah, so that is...
I sent you a pic. Why haven't you responded?
Sliding on in.
So that is this episode's Dear Leader. We are taking your questions and comments and emails at editor@wearelibertarians.com. Long journey this has been on the road to 5 years, 200 episodes.
I never would have thought it, man. It was literally just like, let's get together and talk about politics on radio because we did it all the time.
I started it because I've always wanted to, since 2005, I wanted to do a podcast. And then bought the equipment, and I didn't know what I should do the podcast about or who with. And then I met Galt. And Galt said, "I've got this perfect guy, Creighton."
That wouldn't be how he'd introduce him today.
No.
No, we'll talk about that next episode. But yeah, a lot of good memories, and we'll keep talking about the history. Please, hey, if you're listening before Monday night, write in about your favorite We Are Libertarians moment, and we'll talk about that on the 200th episode. And a little treat for you. This will be, since episode 29, episode 30, this will be the first time that Chris Galt and Creighton Harrington have been in the same room and on the podcast since the fight.
You mean at Morty's?
Yes, at Morty's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since the great unfriending of 2013.
You should come in a George W. Bush t-shirt with his face just smiling.
I was actually thinking of coming as Apollo Creed.
Do it.
It's too expensive.
We'll
for
have
the
entrance song played from Rocky.
That's what I was actually really, like, seriously considering going to Party City and getting, like, American flag boxer shorts and
did Harry
and,
give
like,
you a blackface
like,
recommendation?
And like one of those big stovetop hats and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's an epic scene in American.
But like
history.
I really, really want to do that, but at the same time I'm one of those people who cannot bring myself to spend more than like $20 on a costume I'm gonna wear one time in my life.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to be there. It's only $5 to get in.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You show up. You have a great time. You get the tachos. You get a bunch. You can drink. You can eat food. They've got great food there. You get to hang out with all of your favorite We Are Libertarians people. I may, if I'm in the mood, speak to some of you. Greg will be super nice as always. It will be a great time. We promise you we'll have fun. This is the first one in quite a while.
You should get Tom or Pat to come.
I don't think they'd be interested.
I know they might. I mean,
especially since they tried to do a similar event and we beat them.
That is true.
That's probably why.
Not Tom or Pat, but yeah.
Yeah,
Chick and Christy.
That didn't go over so well.
So the first month that they were doing podcast at Morty's, We Are Libertarians, we beat
top
the pants
dog.
Off of two of the top podcasts. In iTunes, so because we have the best community, the best listeners, and you guys are the reason that we keep doing this. We have a bunch of fun doing it, but I can tell you when I have worked as much as I've worked the past month, and especially this week, man, I would really like to be not talking right now and asleep. But I'm doing it because I love you guys, and I want you guys. Say you miss us when we're gone, so I'm pulling one for you guys.
You know
so.
Exactly what to say to a millennial podcast.
Right. Yes.
Give us more of your unsubstantiated opinions.
Why can't I quit you?
Right. Yeah. So thank you so much. Please, reward our hard work by the bare minimum. Share the episode. Share it with your friends. Say, hey, check these guys out. They're awesome. Visit our website. See all the stuff that we offer. Second level. Please become a donor. Help offset some of the cost of that new server. Help offset the cost that it takes. Once you build a podcast of this size, there's a lot of costs that go into it, and we're not stopping. I'm ever expanding what we're doing. I'm always trying to give you guys more, and that just means that it's more money coming out of my pocket. So anytime you guys donate, through PayPal or Patreon. You guys are helping me pay another server bill, buy another microphone, or do something that we can then give back to you. Harry comes over and works on computers.
You can rent Harry for an hour.
So I can. I don't rent Harry.
Lease.
No, I upgraded the internet solely for the podcast. So we're always doing a bunch of different things so we can continue to grow this and one day do this as a career and bring you 7 days a week of great content and entertain you full time.
Harry just came over to the table with a very menacing
look. We can get our own channel on Dish TV.
Plug that red mic in. Plug into there.
You're allowed to speak.
You may make your formal request of Dear Leader. What would you like?
Well, I'm getting a lot of interference. I'm stealing like Wi-Fi from this other place down the street. I'm actually picking up Wi-Fi from somewhere over in this area behind us. They luckily have like share their Wi-Fi like a good person, because I didn't want to feel like going through your AT&T router, because I figured I'd just use my, you know, antennas and just try to get it on my
booster
range kit.
Your Wi-Fi booster.
I will give you the password. Okay.
Are you going to send infographics of his bandwidth usage that peaks at evening?
Are you going to do anything to my network that will embarrass me? Or will you be doing anything creepy that I might consider creepy?
No.
He was really just giving you daily usage in graphic form that peaked right around 11:30 at night.
He was just using enough bandwidth for like six people, and I was concerned.
That's a whole lot of windows open with a lot of porn running simultaneously.
Listen, when I watch stepsister porn, I don't give up.
It's like the Brady Bunch. You have the whole goddamn thing to pick from.
You got
to
get them all up.
I need Carol, too.
Reload, man.
Me and Carly, bro. All right. So you vow to the not only now listener and listen as we discussed with Rob Kendall, who still has not apologized to me.
You two are never going to find common ground.
Well, then that's Rob's fault. Rob needs to apologize for the great insults that he has thrown my way. I have been nothing but helpful and nice to Rob, and he's been nothing but rude. And he may come back on We Are Libertarians when he apologizes. And you, sir, called him a friend of the show on Tad Talks.
I did, and you got mad.
I'm very upset about it.
He is a friend of the show. I'm betting that you guys are going to reconcile in time, like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
I'm just saying. Listen.
Some shaking young kids that you're fundraising for will bring you back together.
I love Rob. I consider Rob a friend. I've just been hurt, okay?
It's a Mexican standoff right now.
And Rob needs to respect the fact that he hurt my feelings. He's welcome to come to Morty's. He may come on the stage and apologize to me and to the listeners.
How big of you? I'll make it public. I'll roll out the red carpet so they can see his head.
And apologize to all of us.
You're so fair-minded. This is such a fair-minded
request. Making it, you know, letting people save face is what he does.
Listen, I'm not trying to embarrass Rob. Rob's lack of an apology is embarrassment enough. Okay. Now, Harry, so as we discussed last week, I am the listeners and the listeners are me. So you swear to all of the people listening in the empire that you will not abuse my Wi-Fi to abuse me.
It's kind of hard to abuse 18 megs per second.
All right. You may have it.
I promise not to abuse... something I was supposed to say after that. Anyways, yes. Right. Wi-Fi password, yeah.
All right. I think that was
his way of calling you a poor piece of crap.
No, we've got enterprise business now.
Yeah. But it only is DSL, so it's not good.
Thanks for my recommendation. Tell him to go back to his class.
I have not told you yet, but apparently the apartments across the interstate have fiber now.
And why did you...
He's beside himself. He's been searching for me to buy houses so I have better internet.
Well, he's trying to move you out to Henry County, which is just never going to happen.
Never. I'm not getting closer to Jesse Riddle.
I found this one warehouse that was close enough to my house that I could shoot a faster Wi-Fi signal to that place than we get speed to get here from my house. You know, and we just rent that out for $400 a month because at least I could get faster high speed there.
We're going to take out a co-working space for Wi-Fi?
Yes. Just because it's faster.
You
so slow here.
It's hard for me to fully grasp how big of a nerd you are, but you just went past Alan Turing.
Is it not every single week?
Yeah, you carry around a Wi-Fi booster with a USB plug-in everywhere you go.
Every single time I talk to Harry, he gets weirder. Am I the only one?
This is not a Wi-Fi.
No, he just... The onion, another layer comes open about...
Right. Feeling an onion.
He filters his shower head up for fluoride.
This is not...
Not joking. That's serious.
It's not a joke, man.
He's woke.
This is not a Wi-Fi booster. The Wi-Fi booster is hooked up to the PC.
Stay woke, fam.
To my ThinkPad. This is a Yardstick One. What this thing does is like a software-defined radio. Which is really cool.
All right, so let's move on.
Anyway, I can see what you're talking
Harry,
about.
Harry, by the way, over by the lamp, there is a Linksys USB router stick that I bought. I don't know.
It's some piece of equipment that apparently
you tell me.
Okay.
So now that we've spent the first 30 minutes just talking about hardware that's on the tables.
And there will be like 10 people that will be like, you guys should do more of that.
Right?
Could you add a tech-specific podcast?
I work at Best Buy. I'm one of your biggest fans.
Oh, no. These people don't work at Best Buy.
Harry is now reaching across the table to show our other nerd. I couldn't thank you enough.
I'm software, man. I'm software.
For showing up when you did, Greg, because these two were going at it.
I'd have been there earlier, but some woman couldn't make up her mind what kind of keg she wanted.
What were we even talking about? We're talking about
there's a lot
data,
of
the Civil War.
Data science.
So
the brewing Civil War of Linux and Windows.
At any given point, we're either talking about the Civil War, tech, or
Rodney King,
or interdimensional space alien pedophile monsters.
Yeah.
Luckily,
we've got help in that fight.
Right? Now, Division of Labor, we'll defer all of that to Alex and let him take
Sir Alex.
Yeah, we'll let him take charge of that.
Listen, I'm just saying, he's
80 million weekly listens is pretty good.
He's got a White House
he
access.
He makes Oprah look like she has a podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right.
He's going to be the next president.
Let's get on to WikiLeaks. I think this is... if you've listened to this program, if you're like Carlin, you've gone back and listened to the last few episodes. We've covered the Russia stuff in depth. We've talked a lot about the CIA. My opinion is that the CIA over the last 50 to 60, 70 years has been the greatest threat to humanity across the world. And it is responsible for more human death than any other organization on the planet. And it is an enormous threat to individual liberty. And that we are paying for it, and we should stop paying for it, and the CIA should be completely shuttered. And once you really start doing your homework, and it started with Snowden and it snowballed now, WikiLeaks Vault 7 was released, and we'll have Greg explain what WikiLeaks 7 is here in just a moment. But what you really get out of the program that we are about to give to you is the fact that the CIA... that the majority of the Russian smoke that we have been hearing about Trump is probably fake. It is probably
intentionally exploited
by the CIA, that the Obama administration and probably Obama himself actually did tap one of the major two-party nominees.
You'll never be able to prove he authorized the tap.
Sure.
But he's the reason it exists.
And one of the major two-party presidential candidates was being monitored and exploited, and the CIA was working to keep that person from being elected.
Now Woodward and Bernstein is a big old doc dump.
Exactly right.
That is so true. That's
because
the perfect analogy.
Once the press stops doing its job in the vacuum of an actual press, and
they're just
an
a marketing department.
A marketing department for the CIA, which also is proven by these leaks. The truth has to come out, and it is now finding itself patriots, frankly, like Edward Snowden, people who are willing to risk their lives to save the republic,
give up their entire life forever
to make sure that we understand that our government kills people. If you remember the death of Michael Hastings, we talked about it at the time, long before we ever were even willing to entertain the idea of conspiracy theories. We all looked at each other in 2013, it was, I think.
I still remember it because Gina was the one that was really pressing that. And yeah. I looked over at you and I'm like, I don't know if I want to go down this rabbit
hole.
Dude,
I remember Gina.
It's very...
Yeah. Gina's
she doesn't remember
okay.
Gina.
Yeah. It's been so long.
I know. Gina's doing great. She doesn't want to come on the program.
No, Harry
but
antagonized her the last time she was on and she's never been back.
Yeah.
He mansplained her.
It was the peppers that really got under her skin.
Shocking.
By the way, Maya and the Peffers brothers are in Denver. I shipped them the board, the first board today. I shipped them a whole box of equipment Thanks to Harry for donating the microphones. One of them may
have... Wow, that was big of you.
One of them may have his ball sweat on the grills.
That'll be Chris's, and he'll lick it, and thank you.
So, we're going to have a pot-centric cast from Denver with Maya and the Peffers Brothers coming soon.
But to be fair, they didn't have to go to Denver for that day.
No, they did not.
No, it just was very convenient. No. They got there and turned into a Snoop Dogg concert, and now I'm never going to leave.
The two brothers who offered Jeffrey Tucker weed.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Have you seen that video of Snoop Dogg narrating the animal videos?
Yes.
It's going to be that, but a podcast.
Remember old school? Maya's basically the guy in the green hat at the concert in the backyard. Yeah. Snoop!
So that is coming out. But at the time, we talked about Michael Hastings' death, who was a reporter for Rolling Stone and other reporting outlets, and he was writing a book. And he was in a car accident, and his car, if you watch the video, Google Michael Hastings' death, and you can see the video. And he never hits the brakes. He just accelerates right into a wall that catches into flames. And it has been surmised that his car was taken control of and crashed, and at the time we were hesitant to think that, but now with these documents we clearly see that an investigative journalist whose wife was allowed into NSA meetings, who was writing a book on the CIA, the NSA, and the deep state, and had written several articles, including the article that got McChrystal fired. He was go look up Michael Hastings and who he was if you don't know about him.
He was Glenn Greenwald, but didn't have the luxury of, you know, protect the public
exactly.
protection.
Exactly. The reason that Edward Snowden went big is that he couldn't be killed because he was an icon. Glenn Greenwald was a part of that. Michael Hastings didn't have that level of protection because he wasn't
Rolling
that
Stone.
Well known. He was just kind of a hidden figure.
This was also before Rolling Stone shit the bed with
Virginia,
So, you know, you have the Michael Hastings death, and when you look at this data, as you'll hear, his death does not sound like an accident anymore.
Text's proven now. We know it exists.
Exactly right.
And it has all the footprints. His wreck has the footprints of what happens. It's the blind of light and then the sudden brake failure. So you accelerate into whatever you can't see.
So let's get into WikiLeaks Vault 7. Greg has done fantastic show notes again, and we will put this in the episode so you can go and read the notes that we're reading, and you can draw off of that to sound impressive and educated with your friends, as Greg does for me.
It's not even impressive to be informed, because the mainstream press, you couldn't watch NBC 24 hours a day and know what happened.
And then
exactly
that's, and
right.
that's what that's before we get started. That is like, if you look, this came out, and like CNN, NBC, these guys didn't even say a word about it.
Well, you want to know what's even better is one of the largest Russian banks just hired the Podesta Group to do their lobbying today. Saw those Russian hacking things? They actually hired the campaign manager of the WikiLeaks, the brother of the WikiLeaks scandal, to be their lobbying representative.
Tony Podesta?
Yeah, they hired his lobbying group. So, but it's like the Russian ties are to the Podestas.
It's
not
like
to
this is. But that, I mean, this is just like when, like, okay, so you have it right now. You have one of the narratives going across the United States is like the whole Trump versus the media. Are they fake news and all this kind of stuff? And then this comes out, and this is a big story.
Well, technically, this is a violation of United Nations law to be reading this.
Regardless, really? This is a big story, and.
Why?
It's illegal for like a document leak like this to use it as a first source. We're not allowed to be seeing this information, so we're participating
good,
in a crime.
Good thing United Nations don't mean crap.
Yeah. Why don't you throw a blue helmet at me?
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you wrestle me to the Hague?
They're just going to stand there.
Okay, that was really weird. So we started talking about the CIA, and then all of a sudden, the entire electricity in the place just went out.
Which isn't shocking, because actually the day this came out, I
literally
was on 4chan sharing memes from the poll board to you guys because they were hilarious.
Right.
And most people weren't paying attention to this. Libertarians were like, we knew this, or, you know, they understood it.
Nonplussed.
And totally get it, because right. we've all assumed this for a while. But so I was sharing memes, and all of a sudden I go to click back, and I was screenshotting them on purpose. My IP address had been banned. Luckily, it had only been banned in the range. Like that range of IP, but I thought it's a libertarian range of IP addresses.
Yeah, that's weird.
How am I going to shitpost?
Man, this
or
is crazy.
Niece messing with me?
Interesting. Okay, but, well, let's keep going. Yeah. And hopefully we can get through the episode.
Right. We'll get through it. But it's the largest document dump leak in history.
Right.
It's over 8,000 documents, and they 1%. Have so far, yeah, only released 1% of what they've
You're
they
shitting
have.
Me.
1%.
That's what they claim.
Tip it's of the iceberg.
Not even 1%.
Not even a full percent. Yeah.
So theoretically, someone, how did they get this information?
There's another Snowden.
Okay.
That is what they have, or that's the narrative that's been allowed to build. And so there is another unnamed Snowden, and I haven't heard anything if this person has, you know, put plans into place to become public, because they may or they may not. Snowden's pretty rare mm-hmm. in, like, how he immediately used the public to, you know, save himself.
He's exceptionally smart.
Because that completely changed the debate, and it made it about whether or not, like, they couldn't be like, you know, this is all fake, this is, it's like, literally, like...
It was all about, is
you
he a
saw who
here?
It was, you didn't get to be like, this was some... covert.
Is this
Russian,
the life you
this
want?
Is like, this is the person who did it.
To my knowledge, the person could still be working in the CIA.
Right. It's supposed to be one of the people who got... Like, he wasn't the CIA. It was
contractor.
The contractor, right.
They're all technically CIA employees, because they're given top secret access, the highest levels of access. Yeah.
Okay, so Julian Assange said, there is an extreme proliferation risk in the development of cyber weapons. Comparisons can be drawn between the uncontrolled proliferations of such weapons, which results from the inability to contain them combined with their high market value and the global arms trade. But the significance of, quote-unquote, year zero goes well beyond the choice between cyber war and cyber peace. The disclosure is also exceptional from a political, legal, and forensic perspective. You want to put that in context, Greg?
Yeah, it is... I'm sorry, I just got in a family message. I apologize.
Everything
got distracted
right?
for a second. Yeah. Yeah. Just drama. But,
listen, you tell Abby to calm it down over there.
Oh, no.
Reel it in, little girl.
Reel it in, snowflake. Taking the flamethrower to the blizzard. No,
Greg, as you can imagine, has the nicest
family. They're wonderful people.
Oh, his sister and his parents are like the sweetest people.
They don't know where they went wrong with him.
Well, it's about balance. You got to have balance in this world. Too much of one thing. I am the great equalizer of my family.
Have you?
He's like that episode from The Babadook with the mom. Like, why can't you just be normal?
Have you ever heard of Philip Gulley? Okay, you know, like, Philip Gulley is this...
famous Quaker.
He lives right by you.
In Fairfield. He's this... Old Canby.
He's this old famous... He's this probably the most famous Quaker pastor and wrote...
He must be a rock star, then.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's us, though.
So here's this guy who is this this super well-known Christian author, and walks up to Greg's parents after meeting him, and he says, what?
As a troll, because I had trolled him, and he tells them, you know, Greg, he doesn't believe in hell. And he goes, Greg's the first person that's made me question the existence of hell. Because as a joke, since I knew he didn't believe in hell, I gave him the Left Behind series, that Baptist fictional series, and he didn't read the inscription on the inside, and he thought it was real for a year. And so we've have a long track record of shit posting. Like, he hated Trump, so I put it on all his photographs. Every time he changed his profile picture, and his fans would abandon him, and he'd have to go through his Facebook thread and be like, it's not real. Greg, say it's Photoshop. And I'd say, swear to God, I took it on my phone just a few minutes ago. So he's a great guy. He's like We Are Libertarians, but the Quaker version.
We should have him on sometime.
Oh, he'd love it, because he's very libertarian.
Yeah, let's set that up.
I will.
Let's do that. Not next week, but
the
week after.
Yeah.
I loved his book about Quakerism. I think he seems like a great guy. So
you were just making fun of him for being nerds, and like that's the nerdiest thing. That's been said
listen,
today.
Greg and I, when you and Harry make Greg and I look cool,
yeah. when we're the alpha sport bros,
yeah. When Greg walked in to save me from the screeching
nerd-gasm.
That was happening in here, I love both you and Harry, because Creighton is actually the one who wrote our podcast player and our RSS reader. On WeAreLibertarians.com.
Do y'all still use that?
We do. It's up on the front page of the website. You should check. Make sure it's
still... If it ever breaks, then you break it, you buy it.
Somebody messaged Creighton. He did it as a project, so it's very cool. Harry, obviously the technology director.
Founder of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto is how you may know Harry better.
We love Harry. We give him shit because we love him. The time period covered in the latest leak is between the years 2013 and 2016, and this is quote-unquote year zero. What is year zero, Greg?
So basically what that means is that they discover these hacks, and rather than letting anyone know, they're still operational from the point they discovered them. And what they ended up doing is archiving and holding onto them so they had access to any of the devices affected.
Okay.
Or websites or cars. And rather than, you know, the other thing, too, is they have spent $100 billion of taxpayer money to develop this over the years.
Million or billion?
Billion. CIA budget's wow. black. You don't, or right. like, sorry. CIA budget Ugh. Is hidden.
Harry, you okay? It's dark.
It's dark. But so it's
unknown to the public.
Right. They don't reveal it. And if you go back to like the 1970s with the Church Committee under JFK, it was purposefully not, they wouldn't allow an investigation into it because that's when it was discovered. The $32 billion at that year that had been allotted was actually at that time $100 billion annually. So they had been purposely overspending.
So essentially,
well,
what,
isn't that? But before we go, that's a common story. Like, if they don't spend all of their budget, then they go into get them, don't right. get an increase.
That's every government program.
So like they'll you know
every incentive is to overspend.
Right. Back in the day, you know, the drama, the controversy was like, oh, they spent all this money so they could buy weapons from like Iran and stuff. The Iran.
Keep in mind, Cokes only cost a nickel then.
Yeah. The point is that this budget being bloated is bad, but it's also just. It's just standard practice for any government.
Maybe I just didn't get it. Can you explain what the term year zero means again?
So a year zero, so typically if you find a hack, there's time for the creator to patch it or okay. to make sure that it, you know, they have the ability to defend against it before making it public. They have been hoarding day zero hacks where they literally can get into the phone as it's found out. And they've been doing it, not telling the manufacturer specifically for the purpose of having access.
So it's a type of hack.
It has to do with like zero day exploits.
They take control of the root.
They work at it's. They do it. It's like a specific time. Like there's a specific zero day zero that they do it
from the day you have the phone.
Yeah.
Like from the day that's in existence.
And to be fair, and I haven't read all of these, but exploits exist. All the time, and they get patched all the time. So it's highly probable that a lot of these patches, and I think Apple just said today.
Well, they'd been hiding them from these people they have partnerships with.
Right. But a lot of these patches, like let's say CIA has a bunch of exploits for, you know, Android phones. That just means that they have exploits for Android phones, but it doesn't mean that those exploits will work maybe after the next update.
Yeah, and sure. usually they don't. So like they spend a lot of money developing exploits, which is why this is so laughable, that none of them work anymore. So yeah. every exploit known that's been released in this that they've been hoarding that may or may not still have been operational is now worthless, and it's $100 billion.
But the danger with exploits isn't necessarily that they will, you know, that they exist. It's that while they aren't found out, you know, people can do whatever and they can put stuff in your system.
That was the ethical thing, is they weren't telling their partners that they had day zero exploits to people they were right. sharing.
So
with.
Explain to a kindergartner what an exploit is.
It's
so
like having a key
people.
Into any house you want at any time.
It's
that
it's,
uses the kind of
so
lock.
Let's say you've taken a photo of the key of someone's house.
It's
right. In
it's,
any manufacturer, so it's a certain, you have the exact key that works on, it's a universal key
it's,
on any manufacturer.
It's a little bit more specific.
For that lock.
It's a little bit more specific. It's just a bug. It's a bug in a software device that exists on any Windows, Apple, anything. They release software all the time.
Yeah, that's why your phone updates overnight.
Yeah,
so does that mean that it's like I have something called TeamViewer, which it allows me to, on my phone, get into my work computer?
Correct.
Well, the most popular, I guess, the most
famous.
So
it's a simple, essentially the same thing as that's an exploit.
Except they actually take over the root. So they can get in through an operating, like a app, but then they can actually take over and be the foundation and base
yeah,
of the operating
system.
Yeah,
so a lot of times, if it's, let's say it's a computer, a lot of people think about computers when they think about this. You know, let's say it's just a typical desktop, laptop computer. What they can do is, let's say Windows pumps out Windows 10 point whatever they're on now, and somebody's messing around with the source code, and they realize that if they do this and this in this way with this logical absurdity in some statement of code, then they can break this and
it's
get through
cheat code.
Right, and they can get through something, and then they get access to that. They get an access level that they otherwise would not have been able to get, and using that access level, they can then put stuff on your computer like back doors.
Correct.
That's so. If like you've ever seen something like War Games, like they put in back doors where they, even if the patch, the exploit gets found out and patched, whoever may have exploited that exploit has now a back door to get back into your system without having to worry about that exploit anymore.
If you grew up in the early 2000s, late 90s, any file sharing music service like Napster or LimeWire was specifically designed to put backdoor access onto the device that you had downloaded on. You got free music sharing or free music files, and encoded in that was a backdoor or Trojan to steal your information or take over control of your computer.
And a lot of the what people, if it's, let's say it's not the CIA, let's say it's just normal person, a lot of what's used is that they'll use these exploits not necessarily to go on your computer and try and steal your credit card or something, but what they'll do is they'll go on your computer through these exploits and they'll put a bot on your computer, and then even if it gets patched, this bot sits there, they call them zombies, and whenever something happens at some point, they'll use so like, if you ever heard of like denial of service,
it's what happened to InfoWars and Drudge Report just a month ago.
Right, so they have
largest
all,
DDoS so attack imagine
somebody sitting in their room, they find some exploit on some machine, and they go and they send out a bunch of spam emails that a bunch of dummies open.
James Neese used to do that. He was the Nigerian king prince guy.
And so you open this stupid email, and you're an idiot. You open this email, and it downloads this bot onto your computer, but doesn't do anything to your computer. It just installs it in a space where maybe an antivirus can't find it. Maybe it puts it in your boot record that happens before the operating system loads, whatever. But it just sits there, and then something happens at some point in the future, and that person's like, I want to do a denial of service attack against Apple. And they have literally a network of computers that are just average Joes who have no relationship to this person whatsoever that just happen to click on this email. They have these bots, and their computers are used as attacks. They just start throwing requests at websites, and these websites overload, and their servers shut down.
Yep.
That's not even the scariest part about it. Like, he's saying the word computer over and over again. If you think about it, if you just go with the Internet of Target things or Internet of Things, so that those are webcams, people's dildos, those Alexa things.
Fridges.
All those things got computer written code on it. So hitting zombie exploits on those things will just sit there and wait for something to happen. Usually they fall off if they get rebooted, but no one reboots these.
Happened like a month or so ago with the company out in the Northeast? And like their whole
the webcams
and like fridges and stuff.
Yeah, they're purposely doing that right now. What we discovered with the Windows exploit was that it turns the webcam into a, like you would screenshot a Snapchat on your phone, except there's no notification to the person that sent it.
Yeah, that's why everybody always puts tape over
it. Right, and
webcam.
They use it for passwords. It lets them, you know, monitor your password entry, and then they have full access.
Yeah.
And the real danger, too, though, is that once they get root control access, they can set anyone up they want. This is the biggest, the most scary thing to me.
Go ahead.
You can, once you have that root access, or so you have you've gotten in, and now you have full, rather than just read and write access, you can actually go in and change the data on
the computer. You literally control the machine.
So if you wanted to plant child porn, you could.
So if somebody,
your case was done.
If somebody opens up, when you log into your laptop, you're not the root. You're just a user. And the root is like, if you ever have Windows and you try and install something, that little window pops up, says,
administrator access,
do you want to do this? And you click yes. Like, that administrator is the root, and they can get to that level, then they basically control your machine. And you were talking about Internet of Things. Part of the scary part of this Vault 7 has to do with like them using one of the things they do is they have like Samsung TVs and stuff, and they can connect the Samsung smart TV is connected to the internet. Mm-hmm. They go into your TV and they literally use your TV as a microphone. So you're just sitting, and it doesn't say it's on. It just, they turn the mic on, and you're just sitting there and in your living room talking about something, and somebody's listening to you through your TV. That sounds like something we would read in like 1984, like something absurd tinfoil hat. And I will admit, it sounds way too crazy to be real. But it's literally in these documents.
If you remember the Batman movie, that's what they built. That he had that scene, the God's Eye, where you would turn everything to sonar technology and with cell phones.
These guys aren't blowing it up for Morgan Freeman.
No.
So we know they have the ability to do that.
They're using it.
Yeah.
How do we know they're using it?
We don't know where it's stored yet. My guess is that it is stored on one of the big NSA data centers.
Like in Utah or whatever.
Yeah, that they built in Utah
or
North Carolina.
We knew the NSA had this power. We didn't know the CIA had
They basically
this power.
Took the surveillance apparatus the NSA had built, cloned it, built their own, and were able to justify it because of an executive order Ronald Reagan authored after all of the the spying, and because actually this isn't the first time the United States has had this issue. In the 70s, the military was spying on people with audio technology. This is something that's gone on before. And so the way the law was interpreted is that it was allowable in the way Reagan wrote the executive order, as long as it was in the name of combating terrorism, which is such a large, all-encompassing term. It can be any kind of terrorism, digital,
right,
cyber, anything like
it's,
that.
It's a meaningless word that people's like, yeah, I don't support terrorists, but it's just, you may throw out a meaningless word like that and anybody's a terrorist who doesn't agree with the government.
Right. And then manufacturers of routers are actually having to give the shipped product, you know, taking it from the manufacturing facility to the distributors in the United States. There's a stop off where the NSA actually installs a backdoor.
What's ironic is that wasn't it like right after the Snowden thing happened and Michael, what's his face that does Hayden? Like they had a debate over, you know, all these, and not just him, but a lot of senators were complaining about all of these programs that were really big on encrypting,
mm-hmm,
and like how they need to stop promoting their product because we can't break your encryption.
Right. And there's like, there was a lawsuit over it against Apple after the San Bernardino shooting at the hospital, where the government made the case that they wanted to force Apple to hand over the keys. That was clearly a misdirect. They already had the keys. They needed to keep this debate in the public to make it seem like that it was enough of a threat. They should just have absolute entry.
And this just reconfirms, like, after Snowden, like, after the NSA leaked.
But this is the CIA. That's the thing people need to remember. These are totally separate.
This is a different organization. But let remember, right when the NSA stuff came out, they were all like, well, it's just metadata. Oh, it's just, they're not actually listening to your phone calls.
Right.
They're just talking, they're just intercepting, you know, the phone numbers and geolocation of the phone calls. They're not actually, but like, and everyone's like, yeah, right. And they're like, no, it's true. And, you know, there wasn't necessarily any documents that showed that they were listening. And now we know,
and the
they were listening.
The CIA's directive is that they're not allowed to operate in the United States.
No, they are not. They are a covert intelligence agency who exists to monitor any potential enemies that pose a threat to the United States government. That is a nation or a one-man command and control center, which would be a terrorist organization.
Okay, so Chris Spangle, you know, worked for the Libertarian Party of Indiana, okay? Right before he started, a neighbor told the Secret Service that this kid worked for an agency, for
correctly,
an organization that wanted to overthrow the United States government. Long story short, my next door neighbor sent an email to his sister that hated him saying somebody needed to take Obama out. The dude got a week long visit from the Secret Service as they were interviewing him. They said, so do you know anybody who wants to take out the United States of America? And they said, the kid next door works for some organization that wants to do that. I worked for the Libertarian Party of Indiana. Couldn't have been more of a statist. even then, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm so glad you admit that.
And now, you know, so I work for the Libertarian Party of Indiana. I have that little black mark run in with them. I run
a small inconvenience with the Secret Service of the United States.
I'm friends with Maya Axton, who is a known wannabe terrorist.
Literally trying to overthrow the government.
Literally thinks that it's okay to kill any cop because they aggress over her. And I host this podcast. I'm somebody who has influence over other people.
You take your co-host and put all the NSA trigger words they're on a plane?
I use the keywords. I'm going on a vacation sometime in the next couple weeks, and none of you will know when I'm leaving or coming back.
I'm not going to retaliate.
I know
it's
you won't.
It's too serious now.
I know you won't, but some jackass listener like Colin Schaefer would, okay? So what are the chances? What kind of percentage of a chance would you say that I or someone in the Weird Libertarians crew may have been listened to?
We were, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything in our chat is listened to. It's definitely digitally archived, scanned, and then anything that probably triggers an algorithm
you guys
sent
are,
to a person.
We are such small fries.
No, it isn't that. Whoa. It's that it's all recorded.
Yeah, everything is. They collect everything.
And
just
then
in
if
case.
You have enough of a concentration of the words or whatever the algorithm is triggered, it is then sent to a...
Have a seat. Let's discuss this.
Yeah.
Let's discuss this, Creighton.
Yeah.
Creighton just found my Alex Jones Super Bluetooth.
He found your weakness.
Oh, my God. I don't believe
you know
it.
He uses the toothpaste, too.
I'm out of it. You need to bring me.
I'll
that
bring
too.
It. Yeah, I'll bring it to you.
I've used all of it.
I'll give you your woke paste back.
Oh my god!
I love
this.
It.
This is framed.
You need to take.
He put it on Facebook the other day.
You take that with you, okay? That's for you.
Oh my god!
I
don't know why you're laughing.
Yeah, that's so funny.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's
so
insane.
Creighton Harrington is pro pedophilic vampire shapeshifters.
Not the pedophilic.
Shapeshifting vampires, absolutely. No, as a gag gift for Christmas, I got Greg a case of the toothpaste.
And I got him the Art of the Deal first edition.
Right.
Which is right here on the bookshelf.
I know they've collected all of our data, but do you think that they have
It's not just ours, it's everyone.
I know,
everyone,
but I'm saying, do you think that they have gone an extra step? So, like, what I'm trying to get, the question that I'm trying to get at is, obviously, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, they're monitoring. We get that.
They're actively monitoring
but
that.
But, like, an Alex Jones has a really big voice, but then once you get down to private citizens who have a podcast with 6,000 listeners, do you think that they're getting that deep?
Someone in our Facebook group is for sure operating as a digital, like, someone that would be a digitally paid contractor to monitor any type of dissident organization.
And the We Are Libertarians fake news group.
For sure.
He's probably at this table.
And there's probably multiple that, multiple that are on our page now, especially. Maybe 10.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's
so people
knew, like,
acting in a sock account.
They won't act. They're just watching.
They're just watching.
They're
the
not going to engage.
Right.
Long time lurker. First time caller.
Yeah. They wouldn't engage. That might risk discovery. But they're definitely someone has requested added. They're in there and they watch it all. Yeah.
What's hilarious is isn't the other day at some what government agency was it that said that their agencies spend some of their people who work for the government agency, I don't remember what it was, spend up to like 30 hours a week watching porn.
Oh yeah,
which means that they're probably watching it on
the
your
SEC,
laptop.
The Securities and Exchange Commission, Rick Santelli, was live broadcasting, and a guy was back there watching Pornhub.
Right, like that's
So
that's part of the job.
It was a good magic trick. So I can't blame the guy.
It's just there,
Satoshi. Go ahead.
Just saying, like, they're just watching just to find out who we have communications with, because there's a lot of different places that we have communication with. We probably won't discuss anything like too much inside that chat room, but we are connected. So a lot of us are connected to other people who we might be go-betweens between other people.
Yeah, yeah. It's a game of connections, you know, basically 6 degrees of...
And when you have the computing power of today's technology where you can hook up these networks of people, these nodes, each person's laptop is a node, and you can siphon through all this data and find inflection points, find where all of these people are going through that are like, you know, you would be amazed at what you can learn just by looking at massive amounts of data and running algorithms on it.
Oh, big data. I mean, Planetier Technologies, which most people aren't even familiar with. David Karp's the founder and a staunch libertarian, but all his funding came from NQTEL, which is the venture capital arm of the CIA. Like even Oracle databases.
Wait,
Oracle.
Why would they have a venture capital firm?
To develop the technology so that they have an equity stake and they can do this through the board.
I mean, they got to have somebody to raise funds.
You've heard of Oracle databases?
Yeah.
Oracle? That's Project Oracle. NQTEL's first project was funding Larry Ellison's Oracle database. So then Oracle went on to become the world's largest database provider. And there is this initial seed funding is from NQTEL, which is the CIA's venture capital arm.
So presumably anybody who uses Oracle has...
Every person that uses Cisco, Oracle, Sun Microsystems, anything other than encrypted technologies that are intentionally designed to sort of combat...
Like Tails.
You have JavaScript.
About all you got.
JavaScript is from Sun Microsystems, and you download a JavaScript.
Java.
You probably are downloading...
Now we know that Linux has... backdoor access to.
Correct, because they go after the people who do the updates for the repositories and stuff like that. But a lot of their backdoors for Linux are, if you know how to lock down your Linux box, you're
if you
not
know how to
okay.
use Linux, you're going to know how to identify access.
Yeah, that should be clear. All the CIA stuff is bad, but anybody who kind of knows what they're doing can do a lot of protection against.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the people that spend $100 billion and it's all worthless.
Right.
So they're not exactly on top of their game.
That's why they go after the different exploit holes. Like, that's why I keep a separate network between myself and my wife, because she's easy to get through.
Totally.
That's easy. Myself, my side of my network, that's too hard.
Yeah. This is I think the more important question when we talk about this. And I brought this up. I'm in a security and computing class right now at school. and
chill.
Yeah. I went up to the security, my professor, and I asked him, you know, what he thought about this Vault 7 stuff. He said he hadn't had a chance to read it. And this was literally like the day after it came out.
He's like, I'm a normie. I'm not one of you Aspies. Get out of my face, kid.
And so I went up and I asked him, and we started talking a little bit about, you know, that and about Snowden and stuff. And he dropped the line, and I think it's the most important kind of thing. Whenever you're talking about those people, this is the moment where you can figure out, like, where you recognize what is the problem.
Right.
And I asked him, and he said, you know, I think of like something like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. And he says, you don't want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. And he's like, to me, that's kind of the way I'm at. It's like, we, you know, there's a point where we need this stuff. And it's like, that seems to be for the normal American. That's right. The line. They say, yes, this is bad, blah, blah, blah. But it's, I have faith that the people who are doing this are looking out for America's best interest. And I think at a certain, people like us, and at a certain point, more and more people are starting to come over to that side. They say they're not interested in protecting Americans. They're interested in protecting
They're interested in protecting the uber wealthy, the government powerful, the Clintons. They're not playing God. They're exactly right. They're interested in making sure that major military contracts keep going starting wars.
This would make Eisenhower blush.
Absolutely. He secretly regretted starting all this monster. So once a single cyber weapon is loose, it can spread around the world in seconds to be used by rival states, cyber mafia, and teenage hackers alike. What does that mean?
So basically what we did is it came out today that we saw that what Russian hackers and Russian cybersecurity agents for sure had developed, and we just copied their source code and then put it into ours.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically piggybacked off of their code.
So let's talk.
Yeah, and script kiddies are going to have fun this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about Hackerbase. What is Hackerbase?
So we took the consulate in Frankfurt, Germany, and turned it into an international Mountain Dew and Cheetos late night hacking unit. And so we illegally created a CIA base, which I'm shocked, you know, we'd have done the same thing in Libya, but we were too busy selling arms out of it by the basement, creating a coup. But so we had illegally created a CIA hacker base in Frankfurt, Germany, within the U.S. consulate.
Why is it illegal?
You're not allowed to have an operational army. After World War II, you weren't allowed to have that. There was a stay behind pact, I think was what it was called, and we got caught doing it in Italy.
Gladio.
Gladio was what it was.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to do that.
Good old Alan
or you're in violation. And so we did that. We've essentially ignored that this entire time in the Frankfurt U.S. consulate.
It should be mentioned that Gladio ended up being an arm of a bunch of crypto fascists.
Right. The whole time, the German public's been worried about Muslim immigrants, and they should have been worried about CIA.
Look at it this way. Let's imagine that the embassy, you're in D.C. and you go to like the Chinese embassy or something, and you find out that the Chinese embassy has like one of the most sophisticated hacker networks in the world, and they're trying their damnedest to listen to everything that's happening in the White House.
Yeah, and they probably are.
Yeah, they probably are. But like, if that happened, you know, red, white, and blue would be like, oh my God.
Well, look at how easy it is. And so part of this, the data that's been released is we specifically train the individuals in these hacking bases to adopt the tactics and styles of Russian hackers to avoid detection. So that we got caught with the Sony hack, if you remember, trying to blame it on North Korea, and it was basically as flimsy as saying Kim Jong-un grunted and farted this way, and clearly it was his intention to hack the movie studio.
It's clear. This is arbitrary power run amok.
Yeah, well, there's specifically, it's if you're familiar with like when you say someone's kill, right? So it doesn't mean they're actually, you know, it's not that they're dead or alive. It's that you'll spend all your trying to decipher whether it's true, and it's purposely to misguide you. So if you there was when Julian Assange released a videotape during the election, it looked like some graphics had been altered on his face, and it created a firestorm. This is right after the first dump. And so they kept saying Julian Assange is kill, and people misinterpreted that as he's dead. It's not that he's dead. It's that it's an intentional misdirect. But it's them responding. That's their miscommunications department at work, trying to get you digging down the well, putting you off on the wrong scent. And so that is what they are trained to do, the CIA hackers.
And this, what's so dangerous about this is, like, if you just take a step back and listen to what we've been saying for this whole episode, it sounds like X-Files, right? It sounds so above
every American citizen is now being treated as if it is a domestic threat to the nation.
And you know, you hear, if you're just some average Joe and you're listening to somebody say this, like, your brain is immediately going to shut down and be like, that's retarded.
If you're listening to this and it's on your phone through your podcast catcher, they're in your phone.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, Apple or Android.
What I'm trying to say is, like, some random person who's listening to this, some everyday American, they're going to be like, no, that's
I don't have anything to hide.
It's so fancy. This is so over the top that, like, you're immediately going to disbelieve anything. And the fact is that, and, you know, and we'll probably talk about it at some point in this episode or the next one, like, I am super skeptical of any kind of conspiracy theory.
Right.
At all. I am a very hardcore, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. I am one of those kind of people. And
but Chris, now we know they Chris specifically train the people
but now,
so that you can't do it.
So I would be one of those people that would be like, you are crazy. That is way too over the top. I disbelieve anything you're saying. But fellas and ladies, this is literally the documents in this dump.
I have the documents.
They say this. It's like the only thing left to do is for the CIA to come out and do an official press release and be like, you got us.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only thing left to happen.
And the thing is, you know, when it is shown, proven, that they train every agent, every cyber agent, when I would guarantee you every agent out in the field, there's no way this isn't a universal training, to purposely adopt the tactics, styles, and everything else to become your enemy, so that in the event you're caught, you have plausible deniability. They are training from day one on plausible deniability so you can never prove anything.
Yeah.
And that is scary. That, if anything has to be let go of, it is that.
And how much of this is autonomous? I mean, it's like, you know, people talk about how Donald Trump is complaining about leakers and all this kind of stuff, and how then the deep state's after Trump for this and that. And it's like, you're all like, oh, this is all political, you know, showmanship. But it could actually be
it is.
That the CIA is an autonomous entity who has an end that involves attacking its own president.
It does.
And
I mean, it has,
like,
a history of doing
that's
so.
Like, I mean, it's a Bananic Republic stuff, man.
It is, but I mean, we don't. They don't deny. For instance, they got caught trying to kill. So part of the JFK, the documents that came out in the 70s were the revelations that the CIA had recruited the mafia through Sam Giancana to use anti-Castro revolutionaries that lost their property in Cuba when Castro had the revolution. They were going to pay them $150,000 to put 6 poison pills in his food over a period of 6 months. Operation Northwoods. That actually is proof. Like, that's come out. They have also admitted that they paid the photographer for Martin Luther King Jr. He was on staff. The whole guy that documented all the civil rights movement, turns out, paid informant. Same thing. The cop, last name of Lowry, the documents don't come out. Eventually, he gets sued in a civil case with Martin Luther King. Turns out, he had been paid to invade the radical black movement that gave Martin Luther King's more peaceful protests in Memphis. And the whole reason there was a dispute over whether he got the permit, that is now fact. He was a paid person by the FBI to spark flames and create discontent to get their permit revoked.
I mean, one of the most...
They infiltrate everything.
Yeah, I mean, and J. Edgar Hoover, I mean, that was like, he was notorious for have been literally having blackmail on anybody in...
The Kennedys?
The Kennedys, anybody since 1920
He wiretapped
on.
The bed of MLK?
Like, what's his face? The guy who wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls. Who was that writer?
What is Spangled... Who the Bell Tolls? What's...
Hemingway.
Anyway, Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway killed himself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have evidence to say is because J. Edgar Hoover, which they have shown now, J. Edgar Hoover was spying on him because he lived in Cuba.
Right. And they wrote a letter. So they wrote the FBI suicide letter to Martin Luther King Jr., had it delivered, and it said, you know, eventually we're either going to crush you or you're going to stop. And it was supposed to be the letter that would make him commit suicide.
Right.
Because they were going to expose the affairs he had been having on his wife.
Right.
To her. I mean, it exists. They justify it. You know, if you know the history of the CIA, is it comes out of the Skull and Bone Society at Yale, founded by all Yale, you know, Yale elites. Even like my hero, William F. Buckley, right out of college, his career was in Mexico City, which is shocking, where Lee Harvey Oswald met right before before Dallas. That's where they had a station in Mexico City. And so he is my hero, but, you know, he's a Yale Skull and Bonesman, and that is where the agency comes out of. They are almost an intergovernmental intelligence agency whose authority transcends national sovereignty. And they operate as such. And they purposely tried to evade detection. And this is the exposure. And what they're going to do, though, is they're not going to come out and ever admit this. Nor are they going to say this is fake news or anything, such a childish tactic. What they'll do is they'll leave it in limbo forever and wait for people to quit watching, right. Get tired of it. That's what kill is.
Yeah. That's what they always like. You know, they're not going to release the JFK docs that have been classified until like what 50.
It comes out this
years.
Year.
Yeah, it's been like what 60 years since he was killed.
Right, because the tapes were too incendiary.
Yeah,
and so you're going to have a whole bunch of files come out. But at this point, to most people, JFK and his movement and what he meant to America and to like especially baby, you know, the oldest of baby boomers, they're the very last ones that remember. You know, they're the very last ones that remember his spirit of, you know, government can be a force for good. And at the same time, now we know that he used mob connections in order to win the election. His dad got wealthy because he was a rum runner in Boston.
Right.
You know, during Prohibition. And so he
made a deal with the Chicago Mafia.
Frank Sinatra made the introduction between JFK and Sam Giancana and Jimmy Hoffa, who delivered the election in West Virginia and Chicago.
And Frank Sinatra implied to them that if JFK won, then the feds were going to lay off of the Chicago Mafia.
Yeah.
And then RFK went hardcore on them.
Well, they experienced the deep state. So what happened is there was a leak at the Bay of Pigs. There was Fidel Castro's army sitting there waiting on the invasion because of a leak in the CIA, which is really what the deep state is that they, if you even threaten to challenge their authority, they crush you with leaks. And if you remember, and that's what happened with Richard Nixon. I put a quote in chat earlier. It's in the article, The Idiot's Guide to the Deep State by NSFW Corps by Paul Carr. And so what it talks about is that Nixon's paranoia devolved just into he couldn't contain it anymore because he could never find where the leak was coming from. No matter what he did, it was leaked out ahead of time. And it was because he followed LBJ, who was in tandem lockstep with the CIA. And Harry Truman, at the end of his life, the biggest thing he ever regretted was the creation of it and the deep state. And the very thing he feared is what the church committee for JFK's, the Senate committee formed after the Warren Commission to investigate into the technology and all the technical abilities and coordination of the security apparatus. Senator Church released a statement saying, What we've presented to you is so shocking that you can only imagine it of our enemies. And Americans don't have a problem pinning it on in Richard Nixon. He was a bad man. He was a bad president. He was paranoid. Americans can handle that they trusted the wrong person. What they can't handle is that they're a corrupt nation.
Right.
And so that's why the church committee's report ended up not resulting in any result. I mean, the security state. George H.W. Bush talked about, well, we're not going to do this anymore. Simultaneously, you're creating they're outsourcing it to contractors.
George H.W. Bush was a former head of the CIA.
Right. And this, you know, that he's the guy that, you know, made sure to condemn. So after Alan Dulles was replaced for the Bay of Pigs fiasco, because clearly there was a leak within the CIA, which he headed, JFK didn't trust him. And so once the trust was broken, he replaced him with a Catholic individual. And so actually just last or 2015, Politico released a story that finally proved that the new John McCone was the new head that replaced Dulles, and McCone had been instructed by LBJ to go back and start covering any tracks that would look like it might have the appearance of an assassination or conspiracy carried out by the FBI because they had connections to Lee Harvey Oswald by paid contractors. And so now it's so late, no one even cares. But the CIA is an organization headed by the forefathers of the CIA assassinated third world country presidents all the time. They know that. We know that we had failed Operation Northwoods in Cuba. We know that we tried to kill the president of Congo. We tried to take out the president of Chile.
We tried to kill Castro a bunch of times.
Yeah, and we kept failing, you know, because the mob was the close. They had the best access, and that's where the connection
came
from.
Just can't get that guy in that Adidas tracksuit, man.
Yeah, and like so, yeah, that's the thing is we have these documents. It was a project, Operation Northwoods, to kill, systemically assassinate any Marxist. This is what it all ties back to is the Marxism, domino theory of the Cold War. You know, Truman Doctrine. JFK was someone who watched the fiasco of the Bay of Pigs, felt like he couldn't trust the intelligence agencies that he is now in charge of because of the leaks, and so replaced it with a Catholic so he could ask that guy to swear to God if he was telling him the truth. No joke. Robert F. Kennedy asked John McCone on a public record, and he asked him, was the CIA involved in my brother's death? And invoked, you know, Catholicism, so he would have to give him the truthful answer. Thing is, he didn't know.
The next thing you know, RFK's dead.
Why?
Right? And again, like for the more skeptical listeners, like...
This is
like,
fact. I'm not doing anything that isn't
but
fact.
But that's what I'm trying to say is that, like, this sounds so, like... Like, again, like Lone Gunman, Fox Mulder style stuff that we're talking about, but it's like, this stuff...
Is the red pill.
This is on paper. Like, this is there.
Their records they release and release to the public. Like, they're the CIA documents.
Like, this, like... And a lot of it, you know, if it sounds extraordinary, it's just because people don't really talk about it, but it's...
Well, they try not to purposely.
It's just the, like, this is literally, this is arbitrary power run amok.
Right, like, we can't point to the existence of the deep state because it's so ingrained into every element of society and government. There is no distinguishing because it's the same.
You know, it's not hard to make the leap from something like this to make the leap from like a one world shadow government.
Oh, right. Right.
And that's where you get like the tinfoil hat people who, you know, New World Order.
Well, any alliance would be. We're all sharing this information between GHCQ and Britain, France. And this we were sharing some of it with Germany, probably now less that they discovered our hacker base in the consulate. But we're all sharing this in the name of combating Islamic terrorism. And now we're going to include the Russians. And then eventually that means the Chinese, because the Chinese are having Muslim uprisings in the Uyghur province. And they run over their own citizens with tanks. Wait till you see what they do to Islamic terrorists. It becomes a global deep state because of information sharing. Now, there's always distrust, because we don't even trust the Germans fully to share full disclosure.
Executive branch.
Yeah, and they trust this president the least. But the same thing that happened to Richard Nixon, this is an incredibly smart man, one of the most brilliant foreign policy minds in all that has ever been in the White House, especially if you're more of that global, like a more global viewpoint where America has a role in keeping peace. This is a guy that replaced Kennedy, and LBJ's commitment was questioned in Vietnam. So Richard Nixon makes it appear that he's the absolute hawk of hawks, and you know, when he runs again and wins. And the whole time, he is opening up discussions with the Chinese Communist Party, which is completely, that is the ultimate in betrayal to the intelligence community and the people that perpetuate the Truman Doctrine.
I think the only way to describe it for millennials is...
Barack Obama planted it on Edward Snowden.
Barack Obama is talking with Kim Jong-un.
Yes, and they did 9/11 together,
you know,
over a handshake.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, like that kind of scale. And so he is selling it that he's the ultimate hawk to the intelligence community because they are hell-bent on stopping communism. And the whole time he's engaging in private talks with China, because he realizes in 50 years they're going to be most likely one of our biggest trade partners and they're going to enter the global community. And he's responsible for so much of opening up that Asian, making the finally U.S. taking steps toward an Asian pivot.
Good old Pat Buchanan.
Right. Yeah. They're taking our gerbs. But, you know, that's the kind of foresight he had. And so once that was discovered, it's pretty odd that if you look at the picture of the three tramps, which were part of the conspiracy theory for JFK's assassination, the two people, it's funny that two people were alleged, Frank Sturgis, CIA agent, and E. Howard Hunt, another CIA agent, were also two of the plumbers in Watergate. That is stunning if you think about it, and it's even more stunning if you think about it that E. Howard Hunt was personal assistant to Alan Dulles. And so if you think these people don't operate with questionable allegiances constantly, and they can go from, he was sold that Nixon was the right choice following LBJ because he would defeat the communists, not pull out of Vietnam. And they trusted him so much that once his support wavered, the deep state drove him to a sense of paranoia that, in my opinion, closely resembles what Trump is going through right now. He cannot do anything without, in private. Their privacy doesn't exist. It's to the point that Secretary Spicer had a private meeting and went in through 9 people's individual phones. He's having to test his innermost core on who the leakers are. That's a level of paranoia that Richard Nixon had, and why he authorized them to break in to the Democratic National Committee. It is stunning the reappearance of the exact same thing playing out by the intelligence community being villainized.
And what was it? John McCain just the other day when this came out, they said this is a huge problem. All of these leaks, we got to get this unwrapped. And then he just like casually is like, it is kind of freaky to think about that they're listening to me on my TV. That they just hear me yell at the TV, "You're wrong." I'm just like, how can you be so coy about this, man?
It's because he's an idiot that doesn't use email.
It's just like, how can you be so coy? This is so far above and beyond what could ever be considered okay.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Well, I mean, when we fought this war, Seymour Hersh, legendary, you know, he released the documents, so the Pike Commission was the House's version of the Senate Church Committee. And so the Pike was in the House, and they never released their findings because they were too incendiary. It got leaked to Seymour Hersh, and it's known as the Family Jewels. The Family Jewels was the conduct of the CIA of Project MK Ultra, the Stanford Prison Experiment. The documents, and so they leaked these to him. He goes and talks about Operation Mockingbird, the project by the CIA to coordinate and create propaganda with the United States government. We still have the ad agents or the ad council. That is a publicly financed New York Madison Avenue operating arm that has influence and control on advertising in the United States. I mean, there are still things people don't know about. Operation Mockingbird was one. Then there was MK Ultra. There was there's just so many. It just goes on and on. I mean, and now we find out they were messing with MLK, a legend. JFK, someone who, you know, the reason this is also interesting is that the password used to download the files for the WikiLeaks drop was a Kennedy quote.
Yep. The password is splinter it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it into the winds.
Which is what he said he was going to do to the CIA.
Yeah.
After the Bay of Pigs made, you know, he was sure the deep state leaked and made him look terrible.
There's honestly... Okay.
Before you continue that, let's not forget the implications of the Bay of... If it wasn't for the Bay of Pigs, then it's very unlikely that the Cuban Missile Crisis...
ever happens.
Here's
literally almost destroyed the world.
Right. So, I don't know how much I should say here, but...
Hit me.
Are you ready to get woke?
I'm ready. Give me the basic gestalt.
I'm about to bring some basic gestalt. I'm about to make Creighton very uncomfortable.
I feel like I need a joint right now.
As long as you have proof.
No, I think that I watched a lot of Alex Jones documentaries over Christmas break,
oh,
Creighton.
Oh, God.
Listen, you
he's got White House press credentials, so it's one of those things.
Here's the thing about Jones.
How about Dad?
Okay, yep. He's so over the top and hyperbolic, and it's so exaggerated that you can't, like, if he gives you a fact, I mean, there's a lot of knowledge in that head, but at the same
encyclopedic.
Time... encyclopedic. What you have to do with him is if he says something, go and chase it down, and it may be nothing. It may be... like, he said something about John Kerry. There was audio that John Kerry was doing something. I went and listened to it, and I listened to the whole piece of audio, and he was just having a basic conversation with some members of the Syrian rebels, and it wasn't nearly as, like, aggrandized as he made it out to be.
He's a personal friend of Bashar al-Assad. Like, right. The entire reason we're not at war with Russia in a second Cold War is because of the friendship their wives have.
Right, but I forget the context that Jones put it in, but it was so far above the pale. But there are times where there's a lot of information there that you can go and look up. And whenever I watch a Jones documentary, I'm sitting there. Every time I watch any documentary, I'm sitting there fact-checking it, looking up, did this really happen? What happened here? There is a documentary on the JFK assassinations that is on the Jones. I'm a $6.95 a month subscriber to Alex Jones, and I went and watched
a woke member.
But you can go and watch some of the JFK stuff
for $7 a month.
But there's one specifically on the CIA's role in the JFK assassination, and some of the connections are really hard to deny, including
they're concrete now.
HW's role in it. Some of the HW may have had a hand in killing Kennedy. His dad was Prescott Bush, a senator. Who
globalist
majorly, and was one of the financiers, one of the senators who really got the CIA rolling, the Dulles brothers. Here's the thing about – here's what happened. Okay, the CIA got its start after World War II, and they wanted to make sure – they took the – what was it? It wasn't OBS. That's the broadcasting software we use. But what was the predecessor to the CIA OSI. During World War II?
OSI.
OSI. And then that morphed into also OSI, Julia Child, one of the OSI members. She cooked up anti-shark repellent or something. Look it up. And
isn't she just a she was just a cook?
No, she worked as a actual state employee.
I'm just saying, like she just ended up becoming a TV cook.
Well, what you right. find is that so many of these very loosely connected people that become prominent in media have a yep. connection to
yep.
the media organizations that are publicly funded.
Yep, globalists.
Well, you look at Anderson Cooper; he's a Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you watch.
So you're
this
saying the key is to start building railroads, is what you're saying,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Trust no, the me. Key is to know somebody in the CIA.
Yeah. We need to get a hold of Zach.
That's right. High school. Right. We do.
I know somebody who was in the CIA. Noticed he unfriended me. Might have been my status today saying the CIA should be ended.
Not exactly. I mean, the burden of proof's on him.
Right. So you watch this documentary about. The excuse me, can we? You watch this documentary about.
He needs some Superman vitality.
I'm not woke.
When he doesn't take three
he's
drops,
not that woke.
I'm only a drop and a half in today. Buddy.
That's the problem. This happens every time he doesn't take three drops.
Yeah. Like every other episode, I'm so glad Greg's autistic because I can just sit here and fall asleep halfway through the episode.
And I try not to be too aspy, but it requires so much setup to get the narrative right.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, out of context, none of this makes sense.
Our listeners love it. Our listeners love that you're different. And that's why I had Creighton on tonight because I was like, if Creighton, between Creighton and Greg, I don't have to get a word in edgewise if I can.
We have the documents.
Like you're just
taxation is theft.
You're just here to read the opening monologue that you could have recorded and just play for every episode.
Exactly.
That is
right.
Not true.
Go to sleep.
He's managing Harry.
Yes, there was a period.
From his rocking chair on his porch.
If you noticed that
Harry,
I didn't.
Harry is his third cat.
Yeah.
If you noticed that I didn't talk for a while, I went over and I was talking to somebody on some Facebook stuff. I was talking to one of the writers managing some We Are Libertarian stuff. Then I went over and talked to Harry.
Well, Harry wasn't doing a good job.
All
while
some screeching was going on over here. It was great. I was like, I need to do this every week. I'm really doing some time
LBJ!
I was doing some time management. No, you go back and you watch this documentary of the connections, and the connections are all true. The Dulles brothers were hell-bent on expanding male dominance, or male dominance, that too, CIA and American dominance across the world. And if you really look at the militarization...
Some sort of Freudian slip there.
...of the, yes, of super male vitality. It's got me woke. then you see, starting with the Dulles brothers, the expansion, he fired Alan Dulles. Then, lo and behold, Kennedy fires Dulles. Then he gets assassinated. Dulles gets appointed to the investigation on the assassination.
Well, who better to trust?
Right. The rap is that the FBI and the CIA were in battle, and Hoover kind of found out a lot about the assassination, or they were going to war, and so they found Oswald, who was an FBI informant, and
Marxist revolutionary, had been to Cuba, Russia,
right.
You know, had sort of fallen out of the mainstream, but then became woke.
Right, but
at that time, what was woke?
So you
he was just a patsy, yo.
If you go back and look at the Kennedy assassination, and I would not have said this 2 years ago, even, but you know, Creighton and I flat out told Galt 5 years ago, we're not going to discuss conspiracy theories. We're not going to discuss Floyd. We're not going to discuss JFK. We're not going to watch Alex Jones. We're not going to talk about any of this shit. And over the last 5 years, as we've had more of these revelations, more and more of this stuff, I don't know about you, Creighton, but more and more of this stuff, you go, all right, I'm going to start at the Kennedy assassination and work my way forward. And I'm not a 9/11 truther by any stretch of the imagination, but when it comes to the CIA, I just have to believe that the worst case scenario actually happened with these people.
Right. Because they've already done it once, and they burned all the documents.
This is the way I approach these kind of topics. And I say, I've never, ever, ever,
ever been the kind of person who was like, you're a fool for thinking the NSA or the CIA is listening to your phone calls. I've always
of course
been like,
not. They digitally archive them for later.
I've always been the kind of person who's like, that's totally probably true. Like, we may not have proof about it, but I'm totally.
You're very boring. I'm sure they're just storing yours.
But now we have like evidence. I mean, like, I have a very simple kind of mindset when it comes to these kind of things. I'm like, if you're gonna make a claim, back it up. That's my mindset. And I find that most conspiracy theories, like he talks about 9/11 truth, and when we got into this debate 5 years ago, it wasn't about JFK.
No,
it was about
science.
It was about FEMA camps and fluoride in your water making you like Dr. Strangelove stuff.
And, yeah, and that DNA and like, ties to the Saudi royal family of Bush's.
Right,
I
didn't want to go down that route. So yeah. My opinion on those things are that they're still a whole bunch of bullshit. So,
well, there's no documents. Like with the Kennedy thing, 2015, the time expires,
yeah, there's no
and those
proof.
Documents come out.
It's like, I don't know if we are planning to talk about this on this episode or the next one, but like it got into a big argument again with Galt yesterday, where...
Round two, bitch!
Where... I had just shared some, you know, a tongue-in-cheek meme about
because you didn't link
about
to it.
Scooby,
that's what happens every
Scooby,
time.
It was Fred from Scooby-Doo pulling the mask off of a Scooby-Doo monster, and it says, "Now let's look at who the real Russian hackers are," and it's the CIA logo.
Yeah,
just a little, and he went, "Oh, that's a conspiracy," and it just, you know,
no, this is the document. It's right here in the WikiLeaks drop.
It evolved all the way down from there, and. You know, I don't want to get too far off of a tangent. If you're planning to go into this later, if you want to go into this later, we can talk about it later.
We can do some
ninja edits and we can cut this to later.
We're going to talk about Charles Murray next, but I want to talk. Maybe we'll talk more about conspiracies with Galt.
Yeah, we should because you know this is something too that it is just not a conspiracy anymore. The
right.
JFK assassination. Enough time has lapsed that Politico runs in their magazine and on their website an absolute.
If
this information had been made relevant to the Warren Commission, they would have reached an entirely different verdict.
And I also like to say this, when it comes to like something like the JFK assassination, which is not necessarily out of the realm of possible, the way I see it is like listing all of these connections to all of these people is very interesting, but for me, that is still just circumstantial.
Sure, absolutely.
And that to me is, I think
it's not like the paper shows, like Operation Northwoods is the CIA document.
No. I don't doubt any of that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, like, you know, talking about a connection between the Dulles brothers and Lee Harvey Oswald and then the mafia and all this kind of stuff, and then be like, therefore, you know, the mob shot him from
signed confessions.
From whom?
Carlos Marcello, head of the Louisiana crime family, admitted it to an FBI informant in prison before he died.
Okay.
That's the thing. The FBI, it's so long ago.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
But right. my point when bringing that up was that when it comes to that kind of stuff, it's like we have so much more evidence for that kind of stuff than we have for some of the in vogue libertarian conspiracies,
mm-hmm. which I honestly think are misdirections.
And I see that kind of stuff when people get so in libertarian circles get so caught up, so wrapped up in something like 9/11 truth,
yeah.
they waste literally at this point decades of their lives.
When you really get down to it, the 9/11 truth or conspiracy, the anti-vax conspiracies can all really be led to back to a single individual with those conspiracies. One architectural engineering guy.
A guy with a blog on the Ron Paul forums.
Or one guy who is a doctor in Europe who now recuses.
I'd like to say this for any of the people who are screaming at their computers listening to this as I say it, that I want to point out that proof is not something that you read somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count as proof. Just because somebody bought hosting space on the internet, even if we have...
Easy there, buddy.
Even if we have, let's say, for example, we have some reputable... Some degreed architects, some degreed engineers who are like, there's this, this, and this to be said. Even that is not enough.
No, that's right? Statistical probability.
Exactly.
In XYZ amount of scenarios, XYZ would have happened.
The fact is, and it, just on the specific example of 9/11 truth, which I'm sure you're going to get blown up emails because I'm saying this.
No, we're against. We don't believe it's true. We're disproving it.
Yeah, I think, like, when it comes down to it, there are millions of architects and engineers already who have, in very well peer-reviewed scientific academic journals, who have described in very, very complex detail as to how these things can happen. To me, that's what constitutes as proof. Mm-hmm. So, for you, fellow listener, who wants to, you know, blow up my Facebook page with memes about how I'm wrong, just because you found some anomalous engineer from some reputable agency,
a night guard security person that went to school for some semesters for engineering,
it doesn't even matter if it's a PhD from the University of Oxford. We have ways of defining what is reputable science and what isn't, and you can't just throw that stuff around. So when it comes to stuff in like the JFK assassination.
If it's a CIA document that is revealed, that's different.
Yeah, or the CIA leaks, even then, we're not even talking about interpretations of the data. You're just talking about data. You're talking about information
confessions
that has been released to people. And whether or not you interpret it one way or another depends on, I guess, your worldview. But like when it comes to things that are more conspiracy theory, you know, if you're not going to have hard facts, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Red line circles and connections from some dude who happened to be on ground zero and listen and heard somebody say something about blow it up. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. So don't throw it in my face because you just sound like an idiot.
Show me FBI or CIA leaked documents
right.
to WikiLeaks.
Show me that or show me some, you know, engineering community, scientific community saying that the explanation that was given in those scholarly reviewed articles from 20 years ago actually should be overturned.
Criticism of research methodology, not criticism of, well, you just would never give it
right.
a fair shot.
So just like, so it comes down to, if you have a bias and you confirm it with evidence, that is not the same as having evidence and then confirming something. They're totally different.
Did we, while I was tutoring Harry, did we get to examples of CIA projects?
I know, I was just going to, I mean, because that's the thing is,
let's kind of go through these.
A lot of them are technical, but so, and that, yeah, we got the hacker base.
Let me set this up. Mm-hmm. So, examples of CIA projects. The CIA's Engineering Development Group, EDG Management System, contains around 500 different projects, only some of which are documented by Year Zero. Sorry that you're yawning in your cubicle or your car right now after that.
Go to bed.
Sorry, NSA.
I may go to bed and let you guys just finish up the next podcast. We're going to do another one tonight.
And that one will be short.
To get to 200.
It'll be the best podcast ever.
Yeah, I'll be in bed. Each with their own sub-projects, malware, and hacker tools. The majority, I'm falling apart, people, okay? I've got writers pissed at me. I've got...
Oh, for not posting?
Here's the deal. I've been super busy the last month and way above, not above my head, but underwater. And
So
you're prioritizing your income?
So I'm prioritizing the differences between the things that pay me and my hobbies.
You've got to pay that $7 a month for Alex Jones TV, man.
But at the same time, when you ask people to work on your project and then you don't give the appropriate amount of time to, there are several people who are just like, come on, man, I'm waiting on an answer from you. And I feel bad. Like, I was supposed to send Maya that stuff a week ago, and I just got the time. I got the 15 minutes extra to go to the UPS store today in the last week.
I still got mail that was sent to Goose.
Right.
Since he's moved, and I have not gotten around to
really?
Send out to his new address.
Yeah, so I'm just way above. So there are people that I've got a bunch.
I know you heard that, man.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't important.
So each with their own sub-projects, malware, and hacker tools. The majority of these projects relate to tools that are used for penetration, infestation, or implanting.
He's 33.
He went full Beavis and Butthead.
I dress like a fifth grader every day, okay? And then I go make fart jokes for a living.
Hey, you made a step up from tie-dye shirts every day.
Yeah.
Some might say swag.
Right?
So the first project is Umbridge. What is Umbridge, Greg?
So it's the remote devices branch. It collects and maintains a sustain. It's basically their library of the techniques for the malware that they use and what they have what they actually possess, what weapons they have. It's like an armory for digital, digital armory. And then it also, that was where it was revealed how to copy Russian hacker tactics. Like that Guccifer 2.0 or Guccifer 2.0, who was labeled as being responsible for the first DNC lax during the election, that revealed.
Ended up dead?
No, no. He's tormented people forever. He doesn't use traditional hacking techniques. He guesses passwords based on reading news stories and personal bits of information. Like, he guessed Colin Powell's email address and password by using the name of his dog. And then he has in access.
Hilarious.
So that's what, yeah. He's,
I mean, that's old school stuff.
Right, but so that's what he focuses on.
Into the mic.
Sneakers? You ever seen Sneakers?
Yeah, I love that's one of my favorite
movies. Where they go through the
time.
Guy's trash to figure out his passwords?
Exactly. Yeah. And like, so that's what this guy does, but he was the one who was pinned as having given this to the wrongly accused of giving this to Julian Assange. The first hack, showing that the coordination between the campaign and the media for the first debate, what questions to ask. That type of thing.
So,
but they watch him and they say, "This is what he does. I'm going to train you to copy that exactly."
So, when you see in this leak that the CIA has cloned the Russian tactics, and then you see that supposedly Russian IP that the Trump administration is connecting to Russian IPs or whatever the argument is. I mean, they really cast the. The burden of proof is very tough to prove that Donald Trump is some sort of Russian plant.
And luckily, the tide has swung. It used to be, if such an allegation were made in America at an administration, the assumption was you have to disprove you didn't. We're so lucky we live in a world now, post-Snowden, where the assumption is, how do we know the CIA didn't do this?
Right.
What's
because Trump
crazy,
has the advantage.
What's more crazy is with all of this,
with
Hillary still lost.
Yeah.
This is, I told, it's unbelievable. It's almost unfathomable that he beat the deep state and Hillary Clinton and a sitting president who was actively, may not have authorized it, but was collecting the intel of Paul Manafort, his campaign, the opposition campaign manager.
Roger Stone.
And if you know anything about Roger Stone, no effing wonder he supported Donald Trump in his war on the deep state.
Mm-hmm.
He worked side by side with E. Howard Hunt, Alan Dulles' personal assistant, the guy in the Tramp of Three with JFK, and one of the plumbers for Nixon and Watergate.
Yeah.
He watched his hero, who he has a tattoo on his back of Richard Nixon, full size all over his back.
Is it like Steve-O?
No,
it's just the
but
face.
It's a very good tattoo.
Yeah, it's his entire back. And this guy watched the deep state take down his hero.
Yeah.
And so then, after he supports Trump, and he played no role in the campaign, just purely commentary for, you know, having a personal relationship with him, he goes to the doctor and has plutonium in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
They don't test for plutonium ever. What you have to do is request it, and they wave a wand over you to detect radioactivity levels. Vladimir Putin killed this last year in the fall a political dissident with plutonium poisoning through sushi.
Allegedly, yeah, allegedly.
But I'm saying that's something that is showing, you know, the and what happens to people when you take plutonium is it's misdiagnosed as pneumonia because fluid, your body reacts.
He was finishing up his book because I go and look out for when Roger's on Alex Jones because it's always really interesting. And Rand Paul, by the way, was on Alex Jones yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He's woke.
The day before, on Tuesday. He was on
Still
Tuesday.
Still doesn't
show.
Like Mises.org. I got you, though. I got you. I got you, yo. He's gonna like it one of these days.
And so, who doesn't? Rand?
Rand Paul does not like Mises.org's
well, me neither.
Facebook page.
Guess what? I'm all in.
Well, I just, there's a gal friend of mine named Tho Bishop who works for Mises, and every day he's like, Rand Paul still doesn't like Mises.org.
So, yeah, so he was really sick and couldn't fill in for Jones and wasn't on in December and January, this horrible flu. And then he came on in late January, early February and said, I was poisoned.
With plutonium. Which, if you've seen Back to the Future, that's what they power the flux capacitor with in the DeLorean. Right?
So don't think that
it
can't happen.
Until they get Mr. Fusion.
And you can't just go buy plutonium.
Right.
You have to have government access.
Like,
it's more
say?
Dangerous than uranium. Because plutonium won't even penetrate paper unless it's in a concentrated form. So you can put paper over your skin, and like after Fukushima, that level wouldn't penetrate it. But if it's targeted amount, I mean, you're talking about a matter of weeks.
They make nukes with plutonium.
Right. You're talking about a matter of weeks. The radioactivity is so dangerous. At first, you vomit and have diarrhea, and so you think is the flu.
Right.
And then the cells start rapidly dividing, and you end up dying of liver cancer, and it's already at the stage it's metastasized.
I wonder how his health is now.
I mean, they have successfully treated it as long as... That's the thing, is it's so incredibly difficult to catch it rare enough that he had to have suspected it, because you would never suspect it unless you were aware of the capabilities and the traditional ways they take people out.
Interesting. So he caught it so early.
Like, insurance won't cover a plutonium test.
What is so amazing about all of this that we're talking about is that this literally reads like a Tom Clancy novel about the Cold War. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is, and this, it's 2017.
Right into the mic.
It's 2017, and we're still talking about stuff that you would expect to read in a Tom Clancy novel.
Right.
Remember the spy tool, the umbrella gun that had a poison dart and that could penetrate clothing? It was after the church committee finding. There's a picture of the JFK. There's an umbrella that they thought was a gun. What?
You're talking about the penguin?
No, well, yeah, so that's based off of the church committee's finding. Okay. The CIA technology that they had a gun that was an umbrella during the investigation, CIA technology that would take a poison dart, it could penetrate clothing, and you'd be dead of a fake heart attack. It triggered a heart attack in your body, and within 4 hours, the agents would be gone, so you wouldn't be able to tell. And so now it's at the point where, at the time, that was ridiculous. Surely the United States government would never use such things. But at the time, we didn't know about all the Operation Northwoods trying to kill Fidel Castro with cyanide tablets and get them passed along by waiters into his food. You know, we just didn't know about all these things. And now we have the documents that prove they did it because they're theirs. You're not required to by Freedom of Information Act, and they can't redact it because it's not a national security threat. And it makes me wonder, is there a heart attack gun that you can hide in an umbrella and shoot someone with? And like, that would have never been the case 2 years ago for me.
All right, so the leakers of Snowden, let's start wrapping up. The leaker is a Snowden-type whistleblower. The source of the information told WikiLeaks in a statement that they wish to initiate a public debate about the security creation, use, proliferation, and democratic control of cyber weapons. Policy questions that should be debated in the public include, quote-unquote, whether the CIA's hacking capabilities exceed its mandated powers and the problems of public oversight of the agency. Kim.com is the founder of what?
It was a
file sharing service based out of New Zealand.
Right. Hang on. It's
isn't it mega.nz?
Yeah.
Mega Upload.
Mega Upload
and was made an example of. Said Obama accused on Twitter. Obama accused Russia of cyber attacks while his CIA turned all internet enabled consumer electronics in Russia into listening devices. Wow. He also said, CIA turns smart TVs, iPhones, gaming consoles, and many other consumer gadgets into open microphones, and added, CIA turned every Microsoft PC in the world into spyware, can activate backdoors on demand, including via Windows Update.
That's that bot that Creighton was talking about earlier.
Right.
They put malware in the source code.
And it doesn't do anything to your computer. And this is something for all of you lazy who don't have antivirus scanners, is like... You don't have to necessarily see any change in the what your computer does for you to be infected.
Yeah,
like
it's dormant.
It's not necessarily the fact that, like, you know, we expect hackers. You expect you have a virus in your computer, then your computer's going to start getting really slow.
Let's be clear. The CIA is more of a threat to you at this point than any hacker could ever be.
Oh, absolutely.
Than any private hacker. They are more, because with root access, they can plant whatever data they want onto your laptop if they need to create a narrative. If the capability exists. I'm not saying they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
The capability exists to go onto your laptop, access it, plant whatever evidence they need to, and case closed.
Like, what was the story about the other day? There was a story about the FBI, I think it was. I don't know if it was the CIA or the FBI. I think it was the FBI. They dropped a case against a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On child porn. They were trying to get this guy on child porn charges, and they got him in court, and the FBI dropped the case because in order to have convicted this man, they would have revealed how they got the information, and they did not want to do that.
80% of child porn is created, or websites that you can get it on the deep web are run by the FBI and CIA.
But it's like, you know, if there's such
honeypots.
Think about it. Like, let's say that this guy actually was a child predator and he was actually.
He was.
He actually had child porn. He's actually a scumbag. And the FBI got him, not because they caught him going to some website, but because they had access through a backdoor that they just have access to on anyone's computer. And they got this guy, and they found out that he had child porn, and they went after him. And they didn't want to reveal it, so they dropped the case. Now, you probably say, well, so what? He was a child predator. That guy's a scumbag. He'd go to jail forever. I don't care. Cut his balls off. But, like,
someday it'll be you.
At some point, someone at the FBI is going to be like, well, we need to get these people who are saying this about this.
Right.
It's not a slippery slope argument.
I had a conversation with somebody who is sort of on the right side, as opposed to libertarian or left. And they basically said, listen, I go back and forth between they shouldn't be allowed to do this stuff and if you've got nothing to hide. And I said, here's the problem with that argument, okay? When you have, if I followed you around, Mr. X, let's say Mr. X, instead of giving his name, if Mr. I said, let's call him Jake. If I said, Jake, if I follow you around with a camera and have audio running of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, do you think that, and I have connections to lawmakers and policymakers at the highest levels, at multiple levels, if I felt that you were a threat to me, do you think that I would be able to take that pattern of behavior and then craft a law that would make you a felon that would then put you in jail? Do you think that you have nothing to hide at that point? And they said, I never really thought about it like that.
You don't even have to do that. What is it? Every person in America on average makes like three felonies a day.
Oh yeah, right. We're literally breaking UN law right now.
Right.
Like every single day.
Come at me, you blue helmet fruits.
Ten felonies a day.
Ten felonies. Like that's an average. Every American in the United States every single day commits 10 felonies.
And that's really? On purpose. That's by design.
And that's exactly, it's by design because it's like people talk about, you know, when they got Al Capone. Yeah. Like, it was so clever that they were able to get him on tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
But think about that. Do you really like the idea that there are all these laws built that hanging over everyone's head that if they can't get you on a legit charge because you didn't actually do it, then all they have to do is say, well, he did this charge, so we're going to get him on this.
Right. And now they can actually plant the evidence that proves your guilt regardless. You may have committed 10 felonies, but the one they want you on, they can plant.
It all comes down one to your friend who says that I had nothing to hide. That argument only flows if you agree with the legal, like if you agree with the law as it stands. I mean, he's not
true. If he streams porn at night, he is breaking the law. He mm-hmm. is violating copyright protection.
Oh, shit. If we at this table are weirdos, you know, we have so many problems with so many laws that it's very easy for us to be like, yeah, these laws are retarded, so I don't care that, you know, I don't believe nothing to hide. I shouldn't have to hide this. It's not a problem that this is, I'm doing this, so it shouldn't be illegal. But a lot of Americans, you know, they're just, you know, they don't care. They just want to go about their day and do their stuff, and they agree generally that the government sides on their side, and you know, they're not doing anything wrong. But it's like, at some point, the average American's going to be like, this is wrong.
It's turning
it
that way.
That, it has to get that to that point because it's just at a point now where when you say the CIA and the NSA can both spy on you.
And the NSA is fine. That is chartered. That is known. That is okay.
It's not fine. It's but not it, fine.
But I'm saying it's legal.
Fine. It's legal. It may not be.
What the CIA is doing is illegal.
It may be legal, but that doesn't make it right that the
it's
NSA.
It's not moral.
So
right.
That's the yeah. thing. Is like every single normal Joe, you know, they hear us talking about this and they're like, yeah, 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 yeah. But they're using this to get terrorists.
No.
They're using this to get Muslims.
And they admit it. In the program Fine Dining.
And they're not, though. That's the thing. Is like, you say that, that's not what's happening. You have to be, we're libertarians, right? We are going to be, we're going to maybe punch into the wind about how
how skeptical you need to be of your government. And to some extent, maybe we do overdo it sometimes. And, you know, maybe the National Institute of Sciences or something isn't out there to confirm everything that helps the government. Maybe they are just scientists who actually want to
learn. No, they're lobbying arms for Big Pharma.
But like that, but maybe there are government-backed studies that aren't, you know, pernicious. They're just like, we just wanted to test this and see if it worked. That's fine. And there's libertarians that are like, anything that the government touches is wrong. And you know, there's a balance there. But like, this is not one of those cases, all right?
No.
This is a situation.
It's illegal?
Where it's just flat out wrong, and you can't side with it if you have any kind of concept of individual freedom and honestly, self-agency. Like, this is no different than Big Brother.
They're an unelected operating arm that have already, it looks like, the deep state. The thing is, their existence is now so embedded, there's no ever saying you did it. Unless there is a CIA document that says we decided to kill JFK, they would never do that. They're not dumb. They're not going to put that on the record. They're going to use contractors like we did in Iraq. So you're never going to find those documents. But even today, now they're training it so that you can't prove it anyway. There will never be an original sourced document or a revelation unless someone flips, like this individual or Edward Snowden.
And it's ultimately going to be probably their downfall at some point, is that when you get a deep state as vast, a network as vast as they've got, it's just a statistical probability gets, you know, approaches one.
That Americans who are patriots will eventually start exposing it.
Like, except their misdirection, and what they do is, it's not like they start a propaganda war to say you're unpatriotic if you support Edward Snowden. They start a war where they take the opposition or the resistance and they push them down the paths they want by infiltrating social media, by leaking pieces of information designed to put you off the scent and get you in a state where you have no idea what to make sense of.
Right.
And eventually American interest in the press dies out. So they want to see the new iPhone release or whatever needs to be covered that night, or whatever panda or whatever gorilla got shot for protecting a child.
How could you?
But that's the thing, is they are so sophisticated. They've moved beyond trying to do counterintelligence.
Right.
They guide the resistance.
Yeah.
And it's unpatriotic, because it's one thing to be democratically elected and charter the NSA and allow foreign foreign threats. It is an entire another to allow a black budgeted organization to become its own state with no democratically elected officials, all appointed officials who exist outside of, you know, the democratic processes.
It is arbitrary power run amok.
And they're taking they have turned American presidents into the enemy. And if there's any question about it, when you log on, let's say you and I were hackers, we were logging on to our portal for the CIA in Frankfurt, Germany. Here's what happens. Fine dining is the name of the login. You come into a standardized questionnaire menu the CIA case officers fill out. The questionnaire is used by the agency's operational support branch to take the requests of someone that's a case officer and to the technical requirements for you and I on the hacking team. So they say, I need you to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then my job as a hacker is to say,
I'm a case officer and I'm working in the CBS newsroom and I need you to hack into somebody. Then I send you a request and say, can you do this?
Boom. So then this questionnaire takes that and it's sent to me and
And if you don't think that CIA agents are in every newsroom, major newsroom around the nation, you're a fucking idiot.
Operation Mockingbird. I mean, that's what it was in the 60s and 70s. You know, it was to create propaganda to combat the Russians.
Yeah, their ability to control the narrative around the entire world is unparalleled.
And instantaneous now.
Instantaneous.
They can create a groundswell. And so it transforms it to me, my technical requirements. And so then my first question is, well, who's the target?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read to you what the list, your choices are. My first choice, asset. My second choice, liaison asset. My third choice, system administrator. My fourth choice, foreign informations operations. My fifth choice, foreign intelligence agencies. And my last choice, foreign government entities. Notably absent is any reference to extremists or transnational criminals. It is a surveillance operation to spy on specifically people we are in treaties with. In the American people.
How do you deduce that?
Because it doesn't give it doesn't give an option for an Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
It's people that are assets because we are in an agreement with them to use them as informants. Someone that is brokered the liaison for the asset, so someone that would be feeding information in the go-between. it is the system administrator. So someone you are targeting their cyber network.
The whoever's in charge of your, like your office,
yes.
whoever controls the security, the guy who...
The tech guy.
He's the guy who gets, if you can't access some file, he's the guy that lets you access the file. That guy.
Correct. Then a foreign information operation, so that would be KGB.
Mm-hmm.
So you're spying on them. And the last choice, a foreign intelligence agency, so it would be MI6 in Britain.
Right.
You have no choice for... A domestic, you know, a terrorist.
A hostile actor.
The people that all of this was designed to catch.
Right.
The option is not in existence when you log in. If that Amazing. Doesn't reveal the intentions of what they've built,
yeah,
nothing will. They don't give you the option to stop to spy on the Muslims who are doing the tower crashing.
Okay, so let's end there. So final thoughts for this episode, things that we may have missed, Creighton.
I think we covered it all.
Gregory?
It's a lot to take in because it's the admission that you are a target of you're an enemy resistance by mm-hmm. existing. Like, so laws exist, they used to exist, and there's so many of them to catch you. So if you ever did decide to become a dissident, they could get you on whatever they needed. That was at one era.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they don't need the laws. They'll just plant whatever they want.
Okay, I guess I do have a question. What then... Since it's clear that the use of this is not against necessarily foreign terrorists, individual cells of some country,
rogue
actors. The use of this is against, you know, just any person who we could even consider an ally, let alone somebody who's in America, but like an allied nation.
It's an extortion scheme.
What are the global, you know, the global politics implications of this? We've been doing this in Germany. Like,
yeah.
What are the global implications of this as it pertains to international relations?
Luckily, the reason this exists is the evidence that is necessary to manipulate their behavior and buy their control, I'm sure, is already in existence. So the outrage, they're smart enough. They'll say you need to do a certain level of outrage so as to avoid the appearance. But the truth is we have this, and if you do anything, we'll release it and you'll lose all power and we'll make you the bad guy in a heartbeat.
That's the underpinnings of the entire Pizzagate argument. And this is something that Alex Jones harps on a lot, that there are large rings of child pornography, child sex trafficking, amongst the elite who are in these groups, because the reason that they forced H.W. Bush to participate in the JFK is because then they own him. Well, we'll release this information on you killing the president, and then you'll be the greatest goat in history. And so when everything is acceptable, you can't pressure people for being gay, you get them to have sex with a child or plant child porn on the computer, and then you've got them because their reputation will be ruined. And that's the underpinning of the entire, you know, Pizzagate, child porn ring
stuff.
It
actually happened
around
with that guy in West Palm Beach, Jeffrey...
Epstein.
So Virginia Woolf was his... You know, he had modeling agents in Europe that would target attractive young women under the age of 18. Then he would tell their family that they were going to be brought over. What they were really put in is like a strip mall masseuse school. They would operate on his grounds. And Virginia Woolf was a lady that actually worked at Mar-a-Lago on Trump's estate.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad was the groundskeeper, and then it was like her summer job. But then Jeffrey Epstein identified her as someone he wanted to bring in and develop. And she went on the record to take him down. And that's the reason he's federally convicted child molester. Is he would, at party, invite all his important friends at parties. Every bedroom had videotape surveillance in it. He would use the underage girls, try to manipulate them into having sex with them, and then as soon as it's over, he would come into the room, and then they had to do a debriefing about what they talked about, and then he would show them the video. And like that, he owns that little St. James, that little island in the Caribbean. But this is something that's like, again, proof, federal record,
right?
You know, so that is something where the deep state, you wouldn't have the intelligence apparatus you do if you didn't want to. You know, it's the same thing with the same principle of the laws. You have so many laws that no matter what you need, you can pin somebody on, like Al Capone. But now this is so different because the laws are relevant. They can fictionally create the sex tape that might put you into a scandal. And they also have the digital army and the bot army to create overnight a sensation so big you could never counter it.
We're literally in 1984 at this point. And we didn't even
know.
The
thing is, we've been since 2013.
Right.
At least.
Yep. If we ever left after everything, all the spying they did back in the 70s. I hate to say it, but.
Yeah, there's frankly, there's not really going to be any change until there's uproar.
No, because they'll keep pushing people off on wild goose chases until they tire.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Edward Snowden.
Yep.
There's not much of a movement. I mean, you know what I love today? Nigel Farage went into the Ecuador embassy today.
Really?
And visited with Julian Assange.
Great.
You can't barrage the Farage. They tried to kill him 6 times, and he survived every time.
Man, he's a beast. Harry, anything on your end? Anything that you'd like to mention? There's always some deep, deep thought, especially about cybersecurity.
A couple of things. I hate the term you guys keep saying the word hacker on. For hackers are heroes. Hackers do cool things. These are state actors doing bad things. They're crackers. Okay? Hackers. They're crackers.
Triggered.
I hate that.
Why do you hate that?
They're black hat. They're black hats.
They're crackers. Racist. They're crackers.
I like honky hackers.
The other thing is like that whole pinning things and ruining reputation. Regardless of what your opinions on of the Free State Project and Ian Freeman.
Liberty LARPer?
Ian Freeman got... This is exactly what happened to him.
Go ahead. Explain what happened to Ian Freeman.
One week they did an article on the FBI's doing the running the child pornography servers. They did an article about it. And then the next week, the FBI raids the LRN.FM studios, takes all the servers, takes every bit of electronics out of that place.
Right.
And then leaving out the, well, it's for child pornography. And so it just ruins his, trying to ruin his reputation throughout New Hampshire, getting him trying to get
advertisers.
Try to get kicked him off the air, get him kicked out of the Free State Project. All these different things, just trying to ruin his reputation.
Was there actual child pornography?
Falsely planted narrative.
That's the thing is they just accused. They returned a couple of things, but they just keep that accused out there, and that's still holding in the winds on Ian. They could come down on Ian at any time. They're, because
that's what they do rather than just disprove or prove.
Now he's
just in constant state of suspense.
Yeah,
he just got this over his head. It's like, wow, now he can't do any type of activism because if he does anything, they've got this. Well, he's under suspicion also for child pornography.
So it
poisons poisons everything.
It also. So for an internet radio station to have all of their tech confiscated.
Yes.
You know, somebody came in here and took our board. I mean, that's a good chunk of money. I mean, that's too bad.
Yeah, and he was down for a while, but they were able to go back on and do LR and do Free Talk Live that night.
Great.
But the damage is done. Like, even for me, I said that a few weeks ago, and I assumed that was correct, but it was still being tried. Turns out that's a falsely planted narrative intentionally.
Interesting.
Correct. The other thing about them going into digital servers and stuff like that is that the Silk Road case, the Ross Ulbricht case, right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. He's standing up. He's getting passionate now. We're talking Ross Ulbricht. It's one jump away from Sashi.
Yeah, the other thing with the whole Ross Ulbricht case
is that
DPR did log in while Ross was in prison.
Correct.
Okay?
This person.
They know the agents had root control of the server for months. Up to a year, what they
while
can find out.
While he's in lockdown.
They've had control. There's bitcoins missing. So all these little hacking tools.
One of the main agent got arrested for trying to embezzle $12 million in bitcoin.
Correct. There's still bitcoins missing. A lot of these agents are in prison right now. You know, they're still trying to find the missing bitcoins. But
that sounds like the worst video game of all time.
Right. You want to come scavenger hunt for this digital currency that a bunch of Aspies use?
Right. The princess has to find the missing bitcoins.
Yeah. And they also actually fully describe in the trial on how did they define the server? How did they actually find Ross? You know, they didn't put that in the trial.
That's matters of national security, and we're not allowed to reveal those. Same thing with the FBI case.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And then all the things like the whole murder for hire case, which wasn't in the actual trial, but like
you would have thought would be the main exhibit A.
Right.
That's what he tried to hire a contract killer. Conveniently, that was left out.
Right. That's just what they put out for everybody. This guy's a contract killer. He's a drug kingpin. And it's not. That's it.
He's facilitating drugs
narrative.
In your community.
Correct. And they were going to sit there and add different things to the server possibly just to help with the false
narrative.
For all
we know, they planted the interaction on the messaging IRC chat that him requesting the killer.
Correct.
Because
yeah.
now we know they have the technology.
Yeah.
Easily could have did that. Yeah. So.
All right. Very good. I have only one final thought. Come see the final showdown between Creighton and Chris Gault on Conspiracy Theories Monday night.
Might say the Clash of the Twin Towers.
That's right. On
all them handboys.
check out the events page at We Are Libertarians on Facebook. Join us for We Are Libertarians Live. We will be back in just a few moments, but for now,
we promise
to do better next time.
There we go.
You guys still do it. Oh, that's so cute.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.